Hola y bienvenidos a los Oscar Mike Media Podcast. Estoy acompañado por Peter Chapman y Kev Edset. Yo soy el anfitrión, como Chris está lejos, el lanzamiento de un nuevo sitio. Ese que buena suerte para él. Dese hola, Peter.
Hola.
Dese hola, Kev.
Scorchio.
Hello.
Hiya.
Oh, dear.
Hello, everybody.
Pretty impressive.
Yes, it was. And in case you aren't
also
bilingual,
on Espanol.
Yeah, somebody press SAP.
Is that a euphemism?
Hello, and welcome to the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. This is episode 46, and I am your host because Chris is away launching a new site. Good luck to you, Chris. We are joined by Six Axis editor, owner, dude, basically. Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
And we are also joined by Kev.
the stark contrast.
I don't know what
responsibilities.
I don't know what to introduce you as. Everyone knows you're Drake lookalike and all that jazz.
Podcast regular.
Podcast just, regular. Just Kev. Say hello, Kev.
Hi.
Hello. So, coming up this week, we will be talking about...
Wait, have we been suddenly transferred to ITV1 or something?
Yes. Coming up this week, we will be talking about Horrible Bosses. Kevin will be chatting to us about comics.
Come on.
We will also be venturing into the world of Battleheart on iOS devices. But we're going to start with the news. Bong. THQ released South Park. Oh no, they announced that South Park is going to have an RPG.
A rocket-propelled
role-playing
grenade.
Game, I think. Sorry, I thought I'd preempt that one. We already did that.
Yeah. THQ have decided that getting the South Park license and...
Is that cool?
I don't know.
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Obsidian are making it. Obsidian are good at RPGs, generally. Although Alpha Protocol was not great, was it?
My first thought of this was, what the fuck? And then the more I thought about it, I thought, actually, you've got shitloads of characters, you've got shitloads of locations. This could actually be done well. And then I realised it was THQ.
Yeah, well, Obsidian, they can do RPGs quite well. So, I don't know, it's got a chance. I think everybody's initial reaction was, like, what the fuck? But, I don't know, just with Obsidian behind it, it might do all right. But yeah, THQ here, they'll just milk it.
Yeah.
Is South Park deep enough to have like a full-scale RPG?
Well, I thought about that. If you consider, say, an episode is a mission, the amount of madness that you could have is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they'd have to do it in the sort of the South Park style, so it would have to be quite funny.
Hmm. And if Matt Stone and Trey Parker are writing it, then it's just going to be absolutely mental, I think.
Yeah, apparently they're quite big gamers themselves as well.
Oh, well, hopefully it'll be something to look at.
Yeah.
And it'll have an awesome soundtrack.
It'll be a game with controls.
Yeah. It'll be out in shops and stuff, probably. Maybe even a download.
There'll be a lot of profanity. Win, win, win. also, this week, Peter Vita pricing. Vita memory card pricing. I know nothing of this. Peter Vita.
Always.
Yes. They announced, well, they didn't, it sort of leaked out via GameStop that the memory cards for the PlayStation Vita, which are basically an SD memory card in a different shaped case, are going to be really expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the prices it leaked out was
$30. Don't sound concerned, you've got your Vita for free.
Well, I don't have, I expect the rest of it to sort of come as a as a part of that. I don't really want...
Yeah.
You have to pay for things.
So the 4 gigabyte card is $30. But I think they have since, there's been rumours that the official price will actually be $5 cheaper. But the 4 gigabyte was $30 and then the 8 gig was $45 and the 16 gig was $70 and the 32 gigabyte card was $120.
That is a lot of dosh.
Which is a significant amount of money considering it's an SD card. But when you consider that they're going to be probably high performance SD cards, it's slightly closer to the equivalent standard pricing.
Mm.
But still quite a lot of money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still more than you can pick them up for. And do they have to be of that make.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure CEX or something will start stocking.
Well, yeah, no, at the minute they are, Sony are the only people that make them. They haven't licensed anybody else to make them yet.
Oh, they've actually literally made a new shape.
Yeah, it's a new-shaped card.
Wow.
But apparently it's the SD format. Apparently, I don't really know much about technology shit, so I could be wrong. But apparently it's based on the SD card format. It's just in a different shape case.
Mm. Well, thanks, Sony.
I'll give it about a month before someone releases an adapter that fits in the slot.
Yeah, somebody will release a Vita-shaped micro SD adapter, and you'll be able to pick them up cheap, I would imagine, anyway. And until then, it's really expensive. But if you consider the games, the launch games are either on 2 gigabyte cards or 4 gigabyte cards, which means that the downloads from the store are likely to be around those sort of sizes. So if you consider that you have to buy, if you want to buy the digital download, you buy it from the PSN for whatever price that is, and then you have to store it on a memory card, which also costs you $30.
Yeah, that's bad. There's no like direct downloads to Vita, is that?
No, right? The Vita has no onboard memory, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to drive prices. Well, hopefully that will drive prices in the store and make them keep them reasonably low.
Mm.
But all historical evidence suggests that they won't do that.
Yeah, because if you go for the 32 gig, that's going to effectively sort of increase the price of the console by about half, isn't it?
Yeah, the 32 gigabyte card is about half the price of the console.
Jeez.
Not a fan of that. Mm. What, do they want to make money or something?
Yeah. Who are these capitalist bastards?
Yeah.
Also,
running their business.
Damn you.
But I'm importing mine from Japan, so mine's probably going to cost a lot more than that. So spare a thought from me when you're ordering your memory cards from Amazon.
You decided to go to Japan.
Are different Japanese memory cards different from the ones you can get over here?
No, they're just out sooner.
Oh, I see.
I was going to say something then, but wait. I thought, no.
Just have a little patience, Peter.
Yeah.
As I believe Take That once said.
Get out.
Have a little patience.
You obviously didn't take my advice.
I did not. I respectfully decline.
Also in the news, I don't know if you guys agree, but I thought they would be worth a little mention. Battlefield 3 apparently topped 8 million sold. Is that correct?
Apparently.
It's a pretty phenomenal number. I think you always have to take those
figures with a little pinch of
salt. Oh, no, they said that that's sold. I think they've shipped 10 million or something.
Oh, okay.
Or 11 million.
Well, congratulations, actually sold Battlefield 3.
That is quite a good number. Well done. And nice to see someone other than Modern Warfare is enjoying success.
Hold on.
Yeah.
What? Hurrah for Battlefield making shitloads of money, but boo to Sony for selling memory cards expensive.
Yeah, no, that's how it is.
Oh, fair
enough. Yeah, it's the world of business. Yeah.
Sony the man now, then.
Yeah.
Sony the man! am I doing it right?
Sony the thieving bastard.
Hurrah for EA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That hey, innocent corporation that never do anything wrong or anything to ever get
list,
money.
But Rayman Origins, I went to check out in the PSN store and it was £47.99.
What?
So, seemed a little much.
What? Yeah. That's PSN store pricing, of course.
Jeez. Yeah, which is mental as well because there's no packaging or anything involved or distribution costs. I don't understand why the PSN is more expensive than the retail.
How lazy would you have to be if you reached the point where you thought, I could go out and get it for like 15 quid cheaper?
No. Well, I know somebody who was lazy enough to trade in their copy of FIFA 12, which they had bought already on a disc. They traded it into a shop and they bought a downloadable copy of FIFA 12 for £55.
Oh my God.
That person, ladies and gentlemen, was
you.
Chris Clark, CC Star.
Why?
CC Star. You noob.
I'm not entirely sure. I think load times are slightly improved, and I think that it means that you don't have to get up off your arse and change discs. But aside from that, it seems like a really bad idea.
That seems rather
like something
extreme.
A crazy person would do.
Yeah. I think
well,
so.
That's what the other C stands
for.
£47
for Rayman was quite... Yeah, Chris Crazy Star. I think that's what it is. But yeah, I just thought Rayman was a little... I didn't actually realise it was a full retail release. Well, I had been told that, but I'd forgotten, so I went to the store.
I'd hoped so for £47.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think Shop 2 are doing it for 38? No, 32 maybe?
Ooh.
At the moment. So, yeah.
Shop 2 generally one of the cheapest.
Yeah.
And the other bit of news that I saw was that Just Add Water have announced Stranger's Wrath is going to be $9.99, and it is weighing in at just over 3 gig, which sounds like a very competitive price.
Yes, you see, now that's also a full retail, or was a full retail disc, like 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
When it initially released, and it has been extensively worked on and HDified.
Sorry, I missed how much it was.
£9.99.
Kate just came in and mouthed at me, "What have you just bought?" It's all right. I assured her with a quick hand gesture that I hadn't bought anything.
You assured her by shielding your face.
Yeah, exactly. From the mugs that she was throwing at me. That's normal, right? That's just what happens in relationships.
Under the thumb.
She's now brandishing a knife at me for continuing along this line.
Yeah, £9.99 for Stranger's Wrath HD.
I think that's a bargain.
It is a bargain, and to go from 1.9.
Sorry to interrupt again, there, Lewis. Just to bring your attention to the fact that Kate is actually cooking dinner, but you probably can't hear that because we now have rooms separated by doors.
Fancy.
That's voodoo.
I know. Sorry, please.
That's why you're such a supporter of the capitalist haven we've created.
Exactly.
You've changed. I don't know who you are anymore.
Cool man.
Yeah, as I was saying.
Do apologise.
No, you're right. Yeah, £9.99 for Stranger's Wrath HD, which, considering it's gone from, 1.9 gig up to 3.2 gig, because they just wanted to make it as best as possible, I think that's quite promising.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
And by all accounts, it is very, very good, too.
Yeah, I haven't played an Oddworld game since Abe's Exodus.
Yeah, because Munchies came out on the Xbox. I remember when I was in school, because I used to... and like we get really excited for Munch's Odyssey. We was reading all the magazines about how the seasons change, and then they went, "It's Xbox exclusive." Me and my mate proper copped. We were only young.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
So there you go. Although it's £9.99, and it got a 9 out of 10 in the Eurogamer review. We haven't reviewed it yet. We will take a look at it, but because we're quite friendly with the studio, we're trying to work out how to best do the review where it's not.
Yeah, you don't want people just going, "Well, you're best friends."
Yeah, so but because it's £9.99 and it looks pretty good, I'm really quite tempted to buy it. Although I also have Stuart Gilray on the PSN, and he sent me a recommendation to buy their dynamic theme yesterday for £1.59, which I thought was quite cheeky.
Yeah.
That's essentially advertising.
Yeah. We're friends on the PSN. Here, buy my stuff. I don't think that's what the PSN recommendations are meant to be for.
No, possibly.
But
not.
Fair play.
Oh, my dinner's arrived.
Didn't buy it, though.
Meals on Wheels. You didn't buy it?
No.
You call yourself a friend.
Well, I don't really go in for all those themes.
No.
Too cheerful. I enjoy the sparkles too much.
I have got a dynamic theme at the moment. Just one of the free ones off PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, I can't remember if one was free, but if it wasn't, it was only like 99p, and it's just basically the shot of the tide coming in and out.
Oh.
On a...
I'm just wondering how best to eat garlic bread and not make a noise.
Oh, just munch away.
Yeah, go for it. You're nice. Editing it.
Speaking of water flowing in and out, I read a review today about the Asus Transformer tablet PC thing.
I wonder where you were going with that.
They've made a new one, and apparently it has a background, which is like it's like a tank full of water, and as the battery drains, the water drains down the screen.
That's very cool. And in fact, the water draining effect drains the battery much quicker than it otherwise would, I imagine.
Yeah, but it looks cool while it's doing it. It's actually the first time I've seen an Android tablet which has tempted me to move away from the iPad.
Interesting.
Looks very good.
Oh.
So, this has been the CNET podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter, you have been playing Kirby's Adventure on the Wii.
I have, because the shelf that I have with Assassin's Creed Revelations and Uncharted 3 on it isn't tempting enough. I have to play a Wii game. Hurrah!
Yay!
It's pretty good. It's very generic. It's like a 2D platformer with Kirby. So you people who know Kirby will know what you're getting.
I was going to say, who's Kirby?
You eat stuff and you turn into it.
Yeah, you inhale baddies. Kirby's the little pink ball. He looks like a spare bollock, if such a thing existed.
I've never really considered that before.
He's a little pink ball that from the planet Popstar, and he inhales his enemies and can imbibe their abilities. So certain enemies he inhales and it gives him like powerful flames or magic or water damage, or there are enemies that he can inhale them and then he becomes a fighter with like a headband on and he can do dragon punches and Hadouken and stuff. So yeah, it's
kind of... Has anyone told him that that's been done before?
Yes, but Kirby does it much cuter.
Oh, so as long as you're cute, it's fine to plagiarise.
Yeah.
That is totally the rule.
Yeah. I think that's copyright law. It is. It's pretty good. It's a fairly tight platformer, but it's very generic. It feels like Kirby games from 10 years ago.
I never knew Kirby existed, so I have no idea what you... I have no idea of what it was like 10 years ago.
You are not a Nintendo fan, Lewis, no?
I'm not, no.
I've never owned a Nintendo home console.
Shocking. I've only ever...
I did have a good Kirby adventure game on the DS where you had to draw his path with the stylus.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what it was called. It was really good, though.
That was the... I think that was... People still say that's like the best DS game you can get.
It is really good. It's probably the only DS game I've ever finished.
Ooh, Canvas Curse.
That's the one.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Apparently very good.
Dramatic.
Yeah, so if you like 2D platformers, then Kirby's Adventure on the Wii is a 2D platformer.
Cool.
And it's got the abilities thing is it's a pretty cool little trick that it does. So it's quite interesting. And it's very, very, very easy.
Cool, cool. Speaking of Nintendo, I've been meaning to ask... I was rather surprised to see an advert for GoldenEye for the PlayStation. Is it any good? The advert says like 9.5 out of 10, but I can't remember who it was from. But then I've
from heard Dave from, down the street.
Yeah, that's what I expect. But then someone else went, it's been absolutely slated, and I was like, I'm a bit gutted by that.
I think people should have just left it alone.
Is it shit then? Is it?
I had no experience of it at all, but...
I think it's basically just an HD... Well, it is an HD version of the Wii one that they released last year.
Is that not good, then?
Which is basically... Yeah, it's all right. It's like an update.
I don't care if the graphics are shit, though, because that's what makes GoldenEye brilliant, I think.
Yeah, it's like an updated version with some extra, like, voiceover bits and stuff. It's like the first GoldenEye that was out on the N64.
Yeah. In which case, fuck it, I'm getting it.
But it'll be quite dated now, I would imagine.
Yeah, I
you
mean, it was
shut
at the time
your mouth.
It was quite a new thing, and just the way that it worked was quite revolutionary, I guess.
Yeah, but it'd be for nostalgia, and you don't want it turning up being all spanky and new.
I suppose because then like, it'll disappoint. Get any new people coming to play it? It's all going to be people who played it previously, I suppose. Because I didn't. I played GoldenEye maybe twice.
Yeah,
the first time round. Like I said, never owned a Nintendo console. So, yeah, that doesn't really have any appeal to me now.
I have to say, I still hark for the days of GoldenEye 64.
But here's the thing. This is probably why you haven't heard of it, Lewis, because it was released by Activision between Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they released a first-person shooter between those two games.
Clever.
And then didn't really bother marketing it much. So
they probably, the marketing department was like, well, we could. Yeah. But there's really no point.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently it's all right, but it's just the same
it's
as
the same. Yeah.
The first one.
Well, that
with a few bits changed.
That is a bonus.
That's enough
in
of
my
this.
Eyes. Yeah, I'm getting it.
Yeah, and it has all the multiplayer stuff's online as well, so.
Screw the naysayers.
Isn't that your motto?
Yes, it is. Screw the naysayers. Well, my motto is pretty much screw anyone, but
naysayers, yes sayers. Sorry, yay sayers.
To be fair, screwing naysayers is a bit more fun. Seen as a bit more risque.
Isn't that rape?
Oh, you and your fancy terminology.
technical term.
Nothing quite like a teary shag, is there?
Tears are lubricant.
You've been watching Misfits.
Is that where that's from?
Yeah.
I have actually watched Misfits all this week.
Yeah.
I see tears as a lubrication.
Guy, the new guy said that.
Oh, he's brilliant. I much prefer him to the old guy.
Mm. Yeah, he's good. I had a mouthful of broccoli then.
Why are
what
you eating broccoli
you
with garlic
be
bread?
Eating that involves broccoli and garlic bread?
It's a pasta bake that contains broccoli in it. It's broccoli, cheese, sauce and tuna. Pasta bake.
Yeah, okay. That's probably acceptable.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I don't think that's that mental.
As long as you're not outside, I'm happy.
What is this witchcraft?
Fancy culinary habits just baffled
no,
me.
No, I've just cooked a broccoli, and I'm eating some
garlic bread. Have you got your picnic blanket out?
I've got a little tray from IKEA.
Okay, that'll
it's do. Got birds on it.
That'll do, donkey.
What, like pastry birds?
Yeah, like fit birds in that. No, just some multicoloured. I'm trying to think of a science word for birds, but yeah.
What? No.
It's like an aviary, all on one
aviary,
tray.
Aviary, that's the word. Timing. We're going to go to the competition. Last week, I played you a piece of music that I specifically said is a specific version. So here's what you heard.
C minor, put it in C minor.
Where have C minor.
All the good men gone and where are all the gods?
And that
so
is...
So when you said it's a specific version, do you mean like this is the C minor version? So don't...
No, but that...
You know, don't
bit...
enter with the D, because that's just going to be wrong.
I'm sorry, but Bonnie Tyler's version begins in A.
See?
Yeah, because that is obviously the voice of the specific character that sings it. And it
C
was,
minor,
of course...
C minor.
Exactly. And it was, of course, the Fairy Godmother from Shrek 2. So, thank you for entering. I'll read out the names in a minute. Two of you did... say Footloose. Technically, that song was used in Footloose, but not that version. So I'm afraid.
Did they remake Footloose as well?
Yeah. I haven't seen the first one, to be fair, but.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Footloose.
Sorry, I got a bit of broccoli on the microphone.
Didn't they remake Footloose with Zac Efron or somebody daft?
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
Someone teeny boppy like that.
Oh, hold on.
Chris probably loved it.
Yeah, we should fact check this because Tough Cup will be all over this shit.
Yeah, really will. Hold on. Just fact checking.
No.
No. Kenny Wormald.
Oh, Kenny.
Do you know him?
Yeah. He used to clean windows down in, you know, Cornwall.
No. Sorry, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you will. You see him. He's one of those people. You know, oh, I know you.
Window cleaner Kenny! Yeah,
see? You're getting it now.
Big time.
So, Fazalax, I'm afraid Footloose is a wrong answer, but thank you very much for your entry. It is much appreciated. Please enter in future. Ryan Holland, unfortunately, it isn't Footloose, but again, thank you for your entry. Please make sure you enter in future. However, Kevin Evans said Shrek 2, Brett Parsons said Shrek 2, Joachim Mon, who has constantly told me it's pronounced Joachim, so...
Are we not meant to pick a winner before
yeah, I'm
we
just,
hear
Yeah, I'm doing it this way now, so just let it go, alright?
Okay, is this the order that the numbers are going to be in when we have to pick?
No, because they're all mixed up. So okay. Joachim Mon also guessed Shrek 2, Kev Adset, that's not...
What?
What's
I don't
that
remember
mean?
Entering.
Oh, that's a different email. Get out of my timeline. Archive, bye.
Oh, no. drop pasta on my desk.
Miffy Lou, guest Shrek 2, who I believe is Ash W92's girlfriend, still a stripper. Mr. Shades, Rimjaw, he also said okay. Shrek 2. Ralph Thompson, he said Shrek 2. No. He didn't say Shrek 2 at all. Right, okay, so it is 1, 2, 3, 5. Out of 1 and 5. One of you pick number between 1 and 5.
3.
3. 1, 2, 3. That is Miffy Lou.
Hurrah!
Hooray!
So well done, Miffy.
Congratulations. And hopefully you that have... means that AshW92 will also benefit from this fantastic prize that she's about to
it
win.
It does. 2 for the price of 1.
Did they both enter?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure it should be 1 entry per household.
It was only Miffy Lou that entered, so...
There you go.
That's all right, then.
So if the sad day ever comes where they break up, she gets to keep the DVD.
Well, yeah, that is if the breakup is amicable, because, you know, the DVD is quite a good weapon to throw.
This is also true.
They might break up over the DVD.
They might break the DVD up.
There's so many possibilities.
I don't know why they would do that. But...
Destructive couple.
It's a possibility. So there are 2 DVDs left. Peter, who picked number 3?
I did.
Oh, in which case, Kev, can you pick a number between 1... No, actually, can you pick a number, 1 or 2?
Oh, he's getting wise.
Response.
I'm going to go 1.
1. You have chosen Quantum of Solace.
Oh, keeping up with the James Bond theme.
It is Quantum of Solace. Well done, Miffy Lou. You have won that. This week's piece of music, again, it is a specific version of the piece, so listen carefully, because I will not accept the Alton Towers advert as an answer. Okay, so if you know the film from which that
is it,
remix...
Is it the Alton Towers sound advert? Soundtrack?
Fuck off.
Fucking off now, sir.
It's not
That's
the Alton...
obliging.
Yeah. Passive. Submissive. Yes, if you know the piece... if you know the film that piece of music belongs to, again, need specific... email me at lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
One of my favourite soundtracks.
With your name, full answer, and address as well, please. So that's is this week's.
That's not your postal address. He just wants you to send him a dress.
Well, yeah, I'm running
for the
out.
Weekend.
They're getting a bit dirty these days.
Soil.
Okay. Soil. Okay, so I watched a film the other day called, yesterday in fact, Horrible Bosses, with shitloads of people in it.
You just went right into that without a segue, like it was like a normal conversation.
It was.
It's quite impressive.
Thanks. Talent. Skills. I've been practicing on my own. When I can't
sleep.
That's
one of the bleakest images ever. I've just been practicing my segues.
He doesn't even have a mirror.
No, just drawing himself on the wall.
I'm not allowed mirrors anymore. becomes too embarrassing when they have guests, apparently.
I don't even understand.
Yeah, Horrible Bosses. It's got Jason Bateman in it, a couple of other people I don't know, but it also has Donald Sutherland, Colin Farrell, Jennifer Aniston, Kevin Spacey. It's got shitloads of people in it. And it's basically about 3 friends who all have horrible bosses. And they get drunk one night and decide that they're going to kill all of them. All 3 bosses, they're going to kill them. And then they decide to go through with their plan when they're sober. And it's basically a completely madcap comedy.
I've heard of this. This is like Strangers on a Train, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they reference that quite a lot in the film.
Oh, really?
But they get confused, like, because one of their jokes is that they get confused with films a lot. And everything has to be referenced back to a film. So, for example, at one point someone says, "How do you like them nipples?" And then he just turns to the other two and says, "Good Will Hunting," like that. that get mixed up and stuff. So, but it's, yeah, it's a comedy. It's of the same ilk as like The Hangover and Due Date. It's that sort of male testosterone filled comedy. And it is really, really funny. The three blokes work together really well. Jennifer Aniston in it plays like, she's a dentist. She's the boss of, one of the blokes, and she is really perverted and really overly sexual, to the point where she'll knock people out in the dentist chair and then sort of take pictures of her abusing them. It's like no other character she's ever played before. So it was really good to see her sort of step into that role. She did it.
Sex crazed pervert.
Yeah.
It was really brilliant. Nice to
see. It was great. even with her Barbara Streisand nose. And Kevin Spacey, again, he's brilliant in it. He's just an evil bastard, but again, really funny. And it's just, the way it's just done is just really funny. I'd give that a watch. I'll review that soon. That'll be up on Screen Demon, in the next day or two.
I
kind of expected it to not be very good, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting that too. I have it to watch at the moment from the Xbox thing.
I was exactly the same, to be honest with you, because I saw the trailer and I thought it's just going to be another Hangover or anything like that. Mm. But no, actually, I preferred it to The Hangover, because it doesn't try to be funny. It knows it's a joke and it just has a laugh with itself. And Jamie Foxx is in it, and he plays a really funny sort of ex-con that they go to get murder advice. And they're just the way they play off each other, they know it's a laugh. They don't take it too seriously, so it doesn't feel contrived or anything like that. It just feels genuinely like these three blokes are having a laugh, and the way they go about killing or not killing, depending on how you watch it, is just they're fun, because obviously they're three normal blokes that have never killed anyone before. They don't have the urge to kill anyone, so that it's completely out of their comfort zone. So it is just complete bumbling mess from start to finish.
A complete bumbling mess.
Sounds not like the film. My kind of film. Not the film. The way they go about things.
No, it's available as a watch now on the Love Film app on PlayStation. So
ooh.
Might not even have to wait for that one.
Fancy. Have they improved the Love Film app on PlayStation?
No, it's still awful.
Oh.
I think they've improved the search, possibly. I haven't been on it for ages.
Just it's a fairly recent film.
It's on Sky Box Office. It's also on Virgin. So if you've got any of those two, you can get it without having to go out and get it.
And it is on the Xbox 360 Zune service, because that's where I've got it from.
Right.
Mm. So do you have to, with Virgin, because I've got Virgin now and I'm new to them. So they say that film's on Virgin. Do I have to pay for it, or can I just watch it?
I don't have Virgin, but most of my mates do. So of what I've seen, they do. Virgin's sort of on-demand service is far superior to Sky's. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So you get FilmFlex, which I think are free. There's loads of free films on there, and then you get their sort of box office version, if you like. But they're cheaper than Sky,
right.
And you get the high HD standard versions, options. So yeah, I think their service like that is similar, but far, far better.
Yeah, I'm just getting used to this fancy TiVo box thing.
Ooh!
Oh, you got a TiVo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I have no idea how to work it. It's got like thumbs up and thumbs down for programs. And
yeah, because if you give it a thumbs up, it'll tell you other films, other things like it, won't it?
Yeah, it'll just record some stuff and was like, oh, I thought you might like this, so I recorded it for you. Ah, thanks, TiVo. You're my best friend.
Yeah. And yeah, you can search from director and then link all the director's stuff, and sounds quite good for people that are fans of films and good TV series.
Watching stuff.
Yeah, watching stuff.
Motion pictures.
If you like watching stuff, then you're probably going to like that service.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems so, so far.
Give Horrible Bosses a watch. I think it is just one of those funny, don't have to think about it too much, just sort of go with it films.
Cool.
And there is one, I can't remember his name, but the bloke who's has Jennifer Aniston as the boss, is there's a funny scene where he gets accidentally coked up to his eyeballs, and he just absolutely goes mental. It's brilliant.
I tell you who does have a horrible boss. Barry Allen, a.k.a. The Flash.
Really?
Yeah, he's always going on at him, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Anyway, Chris, Kev, sorry, you've read The Flash.
Yeah,
oh, that's a coincidence.
That's so weird.
Oh!
So anyway, yes. I read Flash issue 3. It's rather fancy. Peter, have you read this?
For issue 3, no. I think I've got to issue 2. I didn't know issue 3 was out yet.
Yeah, it came out last week, I think.
Ew.
But yeah, it's really good. I think the series is going from strength to strength. On issue 2, they introduced the idea that Flash, or like kind of Flash before all the reboot, was really fast, but he wasn't using his brain anywhere near as fast as he was using his body. Presumably he was thinking a little bit faster, otherwise he'd like just be off and then straight into a wall. I don't know. But yeah, now through some training, or possibly just from him going, oh yeah, I can do that, and he's now started to think as quickly as he can act, which means that he's planning through entire scenarios in like fractions of a second, so he can kind of basically see the future, because he can work out every action and its consequence in a matter of sort of nanoseconds, which is quite a cool way to give him his own space in the superhero arena. I might have already talked about that in the podcast.
Well, he can work out cause and effect.
Well, he's still his same level of intelligence, but he can just go through so many different possibilities in his head. Like, he can't necessarily know the one that's going to happen, but like, he can see that if he does that, he can go work out which is going to be the most likely thing that happens, so he can basically tell the future. I don't know. I think I have a feeling that it's going to get to the point they're going to build him to be too powerful, and he's going to accidentally kill someone, or like something's going to happen which is going to bring him back down to Earth a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, in the latest issue, he's further developing his powers. One of the things he can do is shake at a molecular level, so he can pass through objects. And he manages to save a full like passenger jet full of people by shaking the whole thing in the same way. And he makes a landing through a bridge.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's quite good.
I've really enjoyed this, actually. I had no desire to read the Flash reboot when they started doing those 52 comics.
No, I wasn't like a big Flash fan at all, but out of the ones that I kind of picked up or got given for my birthday, one of them was the Flash, so I've kind of been doing it from there, and yeah, really enjoying it, actually. The artwork's really nice as
well. Yeah, it was you and Chris talking about it on the podcast that made me buy it. Mm. So, and I've only, like I say, I've only got the first 2 issues so far. But I've just bought the
But just the way that he moves is exactly how you want to see it visualized. It's just, I think it's really
clever. Yeah, it is really clever. And it's, like you say, they're writing him slightly differently to how it has been done in the past, I think. Mm. So it's quite clever. And the artwork is, I think that's one of the strongest for artwork of the reboots.
Yeah.
Really enjoying it.
So yeah, and a very exciting cliffhanger at the end of Flash 3, which obviously I won't spoil. But yeah, pretty exciting.
Does he fall off a cliff?
Take it. Yeah, he's hanging.
Grabs on in time and...
Yeah. Cool. We don't know what's going to happen now, so have to find out next week, next month.
Tune in next month.
Yeah. I think you may have discussed this already, but I also read Justice League 3.
I can't remember if we discussed that or not.
It's got Wonder Woman in it.
Oh, yes. I think Chris mentioned it before I'd read it.
Mm. Have you read it now?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, we don't have to discuss it further, it's fine.
Can I remember it is another question entirely.
It's cool, because I didn't know what Wonder Woman's origin was, other than she's an Amazonian who for some reason wears the American flag as her costume. But that's still not explained. But she's really like lethal and just ruthless when she's first introduced onto Earth, and she's just cutting people's throats in front of crowds of children and stuff.
This was the one with Aquaman as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, right at the end, Aquaman came in. Yeah, just like, yeah, they're underwater as well, because there's these things that are cropping up around the place, seemingly attacking superheroes. Although they're capturing people, I think they've discovered. And then Aquaman on the last panel's like, yeah, they're underwater as well. I'm a badass. I don't think that was the exact dialogue, but...
yeah, I have the exact dialogue if you would like to just do some fact-checking.
Oh, yes, please.
He says, he appears and he says, they were in the water too. So who's in charge here? I vote me.
Ooh, he sounds arrogant. Like a prick.
So there you go. And if there are any casting directors listening from the DC production companies, I'm available.
And also, please make a good DC film soon. There isn't Batman, obviously.
I was
Nolan's
gonna say.
Excused. I watched... we're not going to discuss this on the podcast particularly, but I watched Green Lantern the other day.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
It's not good. I quite enjoyed seeing the high fidelity graphical visualization of his powers, but just the dialogue is abysmal. The one like near the beginning of the film where he's just seen this alien and basically inherited the responsibilities of this alien who died. He's in this bar and he's like saying sorry to this girl and she's like, sorry, you haven't been possessed by an alien or something, have you? And it's just like, oh my god, really? Is this written by like year 10 drama students? It's just awful.
Yeah.
I think that's doing a disservice to year 10 drama students.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah. That's pretty much it for comics that I've read.
Okay, well, Peter, you watched some films that Chris and I recommended, apparently. How did you get on with them?
I did. I watched Good Shepherd, which you recommended weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I finally got round to that with Matt Damon in it.
Matt Damon.
I think that's possibly launched itself well up to towards the top of my favourite film list.
Amazing, isn't it?
I thought it was absolutely phenomenal.
And it's brilliant considering it's such a slow-paced...
Yeah, this is it.
Seemingly uneventful
film. Yeah, it's the period of history that it spans because it's kind of...
From the birth of the CIA onwards.
It sort of flashes back to the... what was the OSS? Is the Office of Secret Services or something?
Yeah,
that was set up in the Second World War. And he sort of flashes back to that all the time. And then it's set roughly around the time of the Bay of Pigs and then moving into the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it's like a 20-year span of time in American history. And it's the formation of the CIA. So obviously there is so much going on. But actually in the film, nothing really happens.
No, it's quite stoic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite slow paced and quite understated. I really enjoy when they do that in a film. I think that's a sign of people who really know what they're doing when they're making films. Is that they can say a lot and they can put across an awful lot of story without actually doing it, without making a big deal out of doing it.
Mm.
So yeah, it was really good.
The other thing I love about that is the fact that obviously Matt Damon's character, his family literally just goes through hell, don't they? For the entire time. And by the end of it, he's just so dedicated to the CIA and that he's having to live with it, but it doesn't seem to faze him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there are a couple of points, Matt Damon's character is faced with his big choice and you kind of think, is this the moment where he turns around and takes the human choice?
Yeah.
And he just kind of never quite does. So yeah, it's really the one thing that I didn't think was particularly well done was the fact that it spans over 20 years and Angelina Jolie plays Matt Damon's wife. And she's aged quite well in that time. They make her look 20 years older, but Matt Damon doesn't. Matt Damon looks about 3 weeks older.
Yeah. Mind you, I suppose with him, he's always covered by hats and glasses and scarves and stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And Angelina Jolie as well, I think that's probably one of her best performances as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of acting talent on display, I think she does a really good job in that movie. And they all do, to be fair. Even Robert De Niro, who was the director, I think.
Yes, yeah.
He has like a small part in it, but he crops up now and again, but he's brilliant. And he kind of plays a cross between classic Robert De Niro and the Robert De Niro that's in his more modern sort of comedy attempt.
Yeah.
But he sort of hits that in the middle and he gets it quite well. And because he's only in the film for about 10 minutes total, I think it's done really, really well. Very
great. I was listening, definitely. Just that last point you made, I really agreed with.
Oh.
Really good.
Big fan of racism.
Huh?
So, yeah, I really enjoyed that film. And the other film that I watched was the documentary that Chris was talking about last week, which is called Page One. It's about the New York Times, and I would completely agree with everything Chris said last week. That's brilliant as well. If you have any interest in the way that news media works or the way that journalism works, not even specifically in the US, but more globally as well, although this is constrained to the US side of things, or any interest in the WikiLeaks scandal that happened this year and last year, it's well worth digging that out and watching it. It's on Amazon. I think it's about £8 to buy on DVD on Amazon.
What's that called? Page One?
It's called Page One, Inside the New York Times.
Ooh. Oh, and quickly, I know it's not on the list, but I also watched a film that Chris discussed last week called The Future. Or was it the week before? And that is batshit crazy.
Or was it next week?
See what you did there. That is batshit crazy, but totally immersive for bizarre reasons. Go back and listen to Chris's views on that, and grab that one if you can as well.
It's brilliant that this week, when Chris isn't here, we're agreeing with him.
Yeah, if he was here, we'd be like, it's fucking shit, Chris.
Shut up, Chris.
Don't know what you're talking about. Because we're going a bit quick as well today. Peter, you discussed Professor Layton last week, but it was a bit rushed because you wanted to talk about Sons of Anarchy. So do you want to expand on Professor Layton, or have you played any other games you wish to discuss?
Well, there's not really much more that you can say about Professor Layton. It is just Professor Layton again.
Lewis, have you ever played a Professor Layton game?
No.
They're quite charming. I had the first one on the DS.
Because I had a DS for about 5 minutes before I saw something shiny. and I did want to play Professor Layton games because I like detective mystery games, and I know it's not similar to, but I loved Broken Sword and things like that, which are quite puzzle solvery type things.
It's got a feel of that to it. It's got quite high production values by the feel of it as well.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And the puzzles in it are brilliant.
Mm.
There's nothing.
Some of them absolutely impossible.
Yeah, there's nothing else quite like Layton's puzzles. The only problem, really, I reviewed that and I think I gave it 6 out of 10. But the only issue I had with it was that it is very, very similar to previous Layton games.
Right.
And even the puzzles, which are still very good, are in a very similar vein to the puzzles in the previous Layton games.
Has it still got kind of Studio Ghibli-esque animation cutscenes in between?
Yes.
Because they're all fully voice acted and everything.
Yeah, the sort of episode introduction cutscenes are voice acted. But there are a couple of other little sort of cutscenes in the middle of the episodes which aren't voice acted.
See.
But yeah, it is pretty good, because basically if you want a puzzle game, then there's not a puzzle game like it. So
it's a shame it's on the DS, because that means I'd have to go and buy a whole new console, which I don't really want to have to do.
Yeah.
Shame.
Understandable.
Yes, it is understandable.
And
thank you.
Aside from that, I haven't actually played anything else, because I'm very, very busy at the minute reviewing, which is cause of some concern, because I'm supposed to be playing Uncharted and Assassin's Creed. And I really, really want to play them, but I can't because I'm too busy.
Yeah, I've just resigned to hopefully getting them for Christmas now, because I think it's probably too near to Christmas to start buying games, but I really want to play them. Both of those, in fact.
Have you not played Uncharted 3?
No, the last big game I played was Batman Arkham City.
And have you not listened to the podcast? Uncharted 3 shit.
I have listened to the podcast. The repeated bashing of Uncharted 3. With disclaimers. You know, it's good, but for an Uncharted game, it's not. Yeah.
I played Hydrophobia Prophecy the other day, just because it was free.
Yeah.
For subscribers. And apart from the water effects, what a pile of shit.
Did you not like it?
No.
I really liked it.
What, you couldn't get to grip with the controls, or was it
I loved the water, but everything else was shit.
You probably didn't
get it. Water graphics were lovely. Graphics around it were shit. The voice acting is just beyond cringeworthily.
I didn't hear the sound on when I was playing it because Kate was doing something that needed her to listen to something, so I just had it on with subtitles.
Yeah,
that might have helped. If I'd muted it, that might have helped.
The voice acting is a little bit cheesy.
So bad. Yeah, and the controls are a bit clunky, but I just thought I'd get that out there.
Oh,
you know, water's great.
I really like
all the rest of it.
But, you know, you could just go and have a bath.
That would be silly.
Yeah.
Who's got a bath?
I have a shower now in my new house.
Woo.
Did you not have a shower before?
First time in years. No. No. Hadn't washed for 3 years, so quite nice to get that done.
You must have been funky.
Like you don't know.
Have we just changed scenes in Seinfeld?
Yes, we have.
Kev, you have played Battleheart, which I believe is for an iOS device.
Yes, for the iOS devices of your choosing. It's available for iPad and iPhone, and it's a nice one of the apps that have a single release for both things.
Oh, I like that.
Because I hate it when they just have the same game but called HD and 1099 or something. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing?
So,
Battleheart. It's really good. It's quite addictive, which I think is fairly essential for the success of any iOS game. But it's a fantasy RPG light, really. It's only battle scenes from a fantasy RPG. So if you can imagine like stripping away any of the story really and just going through fight scenes. So that kind of sets the tone for whether or not you think you'll like it. But it seems pretty high production value. It's made by the same guys who made Zombieville. So you can expect a similar kind of level of graphics from it. I don't know if you guys have ever played Zombieville.
I never have.
No.
Well, you can compare. it's got a nice soundtrack to it. That's good. Let me just... this is the menu music.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, just chilled out. So, if I just fade that into the background, carry on talking. So, when you start the game, you're just one guy, a knight, and you quickly start recruiting other people. In between battles, you can visit the armory, the merchant, the academy, the tavern, or the keep. And... the armory is obviously where you equip your character with any weapons that you might have picked up or armor or anything. Sorry, I'm going to turn this off. That's quite distracting. The merchant, you can buy stuff. Fairly simple enough. The academy is, as obviously with any RPG, you get experience for doing the battles and you can level up. And every 5 levels, you get a new kind of skill that you can activate, which can turn the tide of battle. And... The probably the most interesting bit of it is the tavern, because there's a load of different characters you can have. You can only have 4 characters in your party, but after each mission, there's a new person in the tavern that you can recruit. And so you've got things like there's a pirate in there, there's a little Shaolin monk, there's a like a elven sorceress, a ninja, a little rogue thief guy. They've kind of gone, doesn't matter who there is, just pick and choose, really.
Just throw in some archetypes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's quite nice. And so you kind of try and build your team around having a fighting guy, a healing person, someone who can do magic, and then someone else, sort of a duplicate of one of those, really. And you just progress. And I don't really know what it is that's so sort of capturing about the game, but as you go through, obviously you're leveling up and you get new abilities, but the bad guys get stronger with each level. And sort of there's a little map that's laid out and there's just a battle on each map. So you can replay battles if you want to. And you get to a boss and you're not at the level where your characters can survive the fight, then you can go through and just sort of play the old ones again, but with your current experience, which is quite cool. There's the keep on the menu as well, which is where you can swap characters in and out. So once you've picked your 4, you can just battle with them once and then choose a different 4. And it's jolly good fun. But I think this biggest selling point is it looks really nice on iPhone and iPad. Just looks gorgeous. HD graphics. And it's quite a cartoony style. But you can do things like one of the magic powers that I've got with my knight guys, that he does this kind of war cry and everyone else gets really scared and starts running around, but like the faces on the little characters change into these sort of contorted feared faces. It's just really, really graphically polished.
I am buying now. Oh, yeah. I love the logo.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the logo gives you an example of what you can expect graphically a bit.
Is anybody looking forward to Infinity Blade 2?
No.
See, the thing, I played Infinity Blade quite a lot when it first came out, but now I have no interest in going back to it because it's essentially just the same thing on loop.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even though you're getting better each time, it just kind of wears a bit thin.
Mm-hmm. It was released today and everybody's raving about it, and I've been tempted, but I haven't.
Oh, really?
I haven't succumbed yet.
Can you walk around of your own free will in this one?
I don't think so. I think it's basically just more of the same.
Right.
I think.
Wasn't Epic Citadel the
tech
demo?
Yeah, that was like the engine test.
Yeah. See, I'd like it if you can do just walk around and do quests like that, but I played Infinity Blade for like 5 minutes and I thought, no, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Don't.
Oh, well. I got a new app for my iPad a couple of days ago, which is not really a game, so maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but it is.
Is it that one where you've got to look after a virtual horse?
No.
No, same. I didn't get that either.
It's Reader, which is an RSS reader.
Mm.
But it has a thing in it called readability, where you sign. This is a revelation to me. You sign up to readability.com, the website, and you create an account and you download a little thing for your computer. I downloaded it on my Mac and it works in Chrome, so I assume that it works for everything. If it works for Mac and Chrome, then I assume it works for everything. And it gives you a little button on your web browser. And when you open up like an article somewhere or a news piece somewhere, if you click this little button, you can save it to readability. And then when you open up the app on your iPad, it syncs and you can get those articles on your iPad. Mm-hmm. So I have been going through the days when I'm sitting and I'm very busy at the moment and things flash up on Twitter. And I think, oh, God, that sounds really interesting. But I don't have 5, 10, 15 minutes to sit and read it. I click into it and I click this little button and then I pick them up in the evening and read them.
That's very cool.
I've been very impressed with it.
I am now a Spotify subscriber as part of the deal that Virgin sort of, a free thing that they did with 6 months Spotify.
Yeah, me too.
Premium. It's quite intimidating. They're like, right, so you've got the world's music. What would you like to listen to? I can't really think of any music right now.
One Direction, please.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever's on the front page. That's a new thing to me. I haven't used Spotify.
Yeah, before. I have also got that free 6 months from my very fancy Virgin Internet, but I haven't even opened it since I got the premium subscription.
Oh, fair enough.
Whilst I'm on the App Store perusing, I've just come across one called Blueprint 3D that looks amazing. And it literally is. Yeah, like the example pictures of it are, they're literally blueprints of things. So the first picture is a blueprint of the Eiffel Tower that is in pieces, and you can spin the 3D model around, and basically it's like a 3D puzzle but on a blueprint. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Like a...
So it's a 3D blueprint, but it's obviously broken up into lots of pieces, and then you've got to build it and rotate it and fit everything back together again.
Fancy.
I'm going to get that one as well.
Something I will say, just bringing it back a little bit, is if you're going to play Battleheart, just stick with it for the first sort of half an hour, because it takes a bit of time to where you're just kind of going, is this really what it does? Just this? But actually, once you get into it, it genuinely feels quite rewarding when you're starting to level up your characters and stuff.
Lewis only gives them 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I would say stick with it past that feeling. If you can do half an hour, then that's fine. But
that's
a good one for cheeky loo breaks at work. Just a quick battle on the loo.
Oh, that sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about the game anymore. I just have to battle at loo breaks at work. It's very difficult for me. It's a condition I have.
Okay.
That's not true, of course. I was talking about Battle Heart. Triple bluff.
Moving on.
Sorry, that was a bit of a horror story, wasn't it?
No, it's fine.
No, I mean, it was a bit of a horror story.
Oh, I see what you're doing. For those listening, he's doing that because I watched American Horror Story.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He's doing that. Well,
yeah. He's being weird because I watched.
I'm really sorry for me.
I've been watching American Horror Story, which is on the FX channel. I decided to watch it from the trailer. Although the only thing from the trailer that put me off was from the creators of Glee. I was like, really? And you couldn't be any further from Glee if you tried. It's brilliant.
Why even put that on? I guess because Glee's such a massive success.
Glee's massive, yeah. But you'd expect it to have singing and
cheesy shit. You don't really want the same audience, do you?
Yeah, exactly. But it's really good. It's basically, if you think Amityville Horror crossed with Twin Peaks, you're pretty much there.
Ooh.
And it's really good. It's just about a couple that move into a completely fucked up house. And they've got their own personal problems going on. But then the house is just full of demons, ghosts. The basement's completely fucked up. I wouldn't ever go down there in my life. And
lucky you don't have to.
Yeah. And then they've got a next door neighbor who is an absolute bitch. And she's got she's got a daughter with Down syndrome. And funnily enough, they're the most interesting pair of characters, because the girl with Down syndrome, she's got quite the heartbreaking story. She just wants to be, she's looking at magazines and she wants to be normal. She wants to be one of the pretty girls that she keeps saying. And her mum's just an absolute bitch. The house comes with a maid who, to everyone but the dad of the family, is a really old woman. She's played by... Did any of you watch 6 Feet Under?
No.
She's played by the mum of that family. She's quite an old lady. But to the dad, she's this really young, sexy sort of maid. And it turns out that she's dead and she's sort of been trapped there and... So you have to be quite open to the whole supernatural element of things. Otherwise, you'd probably just think it's ridiculous.
I can dig that.
But yeah, if you're into it, it's really good. Some of it is quite jumpy and quite tense. And then every episode, they seem to have a different era of the house. So throughout the series so far, you're learning the first stages of the house. Like, this doctor was just completely mental. And then... each episode, it starts off with a different era. So, like last week, it started off in, I think it was 2010. It showed you the family the couple that were living there, which was a gay couple, which was made up of Siler from Heroes and some other bloke. And they were killed in there by spirits and people. And then the week before that, it was like set in the 60s and showed you some killings that went on during the 50s, that sort of thing.
It's a cool premise.
Yeah, and it's really, really well done. It doesn't feel overtly cheesy or cliched at any point. And like I said, it's just weird. One of the ghosts or demons, if you like, whichever term describes them best, is a bloke in a gimp outfit who just appears, and he either kills someone or turns up and people think he's their loved ones, because for example, the family that move in there, they find this gimp costume in the loft, and they have a little bit of a laugh about it. And then the next thing you see is this a bloke in a gimp costume, and the woman thinks it's her husband having a laugh, so they end up having sex in there. But it's not, it's this weird ghost bloke that's killing people.
Sex with a ghost.
Yeah,
I hate it when that gimp ghost comes to my house. And he says he's a ghost.
Yeah.
He still has to knock on the door. I think my problem is I keep letting him in.
Yeah. Keep facilitating him. So it's just really, really well done. It's really well shot.
And do we know why the house is crazy?
The sort of people they're blaming for everything starting off is a doctor. I think it was in the 20s. He built the house for his wife, who's like a Hollywood actress. She had a baby that then got kidnapped by somebody. So he started doing backstreet abortions and things like that. And then when the police found the body of their baby, it was in pieces because he'd been taken by a weirdo. So he literally tried sewing the baby back together using animal bits and pieces as well. Right. And he just goes absolute mental. So from there on in, the house is just filled with bad spirits and evil things.
Okay.
And like I say, gradually as it goes on, you're finding more and more people that have been killed there, and their spirits or whatever are turning up. But the weird thing is, the dead people from the past, they turn up and everyone can see them. It's not like it's only one person here and there. That happens occasionally. But the main people, they turn up and everyone can see them, and they interact with everyone as if they were real people. But obviously, you know, they're dead, so they're obviously being weird. But there's none of the sort of, they don't walk through walls or do anything like that. It's done really well, and it's quite credible. And like I said, it's shot really, really nicely. It's got some great sort of cinematography.
So the guy knocking on my door could still be a ghost.
Maybe, yeah, because these ghosts do ring the doorbell.
Wow.
So yeah, there's
just
loads
to clarify,
going
there
on.
There hasn't been any guy in a gimp mask on my door.
Oh. I'll put that on my list to do things. Turn up to Kev's new house in a gimp costume.
Okay.
That one will be checked soon. So yeah, there's just shitloads going on, loads of scope and loads of potential for it, and it's just really good at the moment. It's really clever. And like I say, it doesn't patronise anyone.
Cool.
So watch that. I think there's been about 5 episodes so far. 4 or 5, so it's not too much of a chore to catch up. And again, it'd probably be on Virgin's On Demand service because they're really good. Sky's not so much because they're shit. But it's on FX.
Has anybody watched any Alphas on my recommendation a few weeks back?
Yes,
no, I looked,
Kevin.
I looked for it.
I have.
No need for that. I was only asking.
Yes, I have. I've watched the first couple of episodes of it.
What do you think?
It's the first episode's a little bit weird, but it seems to be picking up pace. And so as I get more used to the characters, it's getting more entertaining. But yeah, initially I'm a little bit like, oh, this is kind of weird. I'm not sure, but I'm warming to it more the more I watch.
So, episode 3 is better than episode 2. I'll give you that.
So I think that's going to be the case. I think that it's just going to get better as it goes on.
Yeah. I haven't watched the last sort of 3 or 4 episodes, because I moved house. I haven't had any TV or internet or anything. So.
Have you moved house?
Oh, did not say. Yeah. No.
No.
Oh, you were going to turn up to the gimp costume in the old house. You're not tricking me that way, Gaston. So we are.
So yes, I have started watching it on your recommendation, and I am quite enjoying it. I will keep you apprised.
Reserve judgment until.
Is it on a channel?
It's
or...
on Alphas. No, that's what it's called. It's on Channel 5 Star.
Right.
Which
so it might be on
5
on demand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is on 5 on demand.
Oh, I'll grab that then.
And yeah, you got all the episodes there as well. So, yeah.
Demand 5.
Demand 5 indeed. Not oh, 5 cool. Forward, which is also a service they have, but just for Gadget Show and a couple of others I've discovered.
I will peruse them.
Yeah.
I'm liking that word today.
Peruse.
My word of the day, peruse. You've got to roll the R's, otherwise it doesn't make it as fun.
Peruse.
Oh, I think we're like an hour into the podcast and that's Kev's first funny voice.
Oh.
have we missed them? Or?
I knew you've changed.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to forget them.
Simple.
Are you more comfortable with that?
That's okay. Much better.
Okay. Okay. So, from this point forward, we've done all the things on the list, really, haven't we? Other than the regular slots.
The trouble is, Peter, does that now make you want to talk in a silly voice?
Not really, no.
I think Lewis wants to respond to me in a...
It does me. I start getting voice envy.
Getting the urge. He's getting the old urge.
Stop it.
I do apologize.
I want to talk like it.
You Mel, there's nothing to say you can't.
I don't like my voice anymore. Yes, we're moving on gas. It's been fast paced. It's been punchy, but it's been entertaining.
Yeah, it's
as well.
Sort of snappy. It's in. It's now. It's yeah. buzzing.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we move on to this week's quiz. It currently stands at 1-1-1.
Oh.
Chris is here, so his isn't going to increase. So it's a chance for either Kevin or Peter.
Please,
sorry,
Kev, we
just
get into a point where it was kind of happening, and now
I know, but
it's off and it's all back
I know,
to square
but it's
one.
Just I don't do it out of any spite or any reason. I just prefer the name Kevin.
Well, I think I've said before, I'd like to think it's more my choice than yours, but apparently it's not. So.
Okay, so this week, because you all seem to do quite well at the alternative names, that's what I'm doing again. So I have 10 titles of films that I have reworded, and you need to just sort of work out what I've done and put them back to normal.
Are we talking anagrams here?
No, not anagrams, more literal meanings of the...
Oh, okay.
So, for example, if I said, like last week, the example I gave was fear of spiders, the film would be arachnophobia.
Okay. I like
these
ones.
So, yeah, these, like I said, I think
I quite like
if they'd gone with these titles, the films would have been much more successful.
All right.
So, okay,
1 to
10. I think
we should get some competitive music, like Crystal Maze soundtrack or something.
Oh, or Mastermind. Mastermind.
Yeah. Right, that's it. I'm turning the lights off, getting a spotlight.
I've actually got a spotlight on me right now. The rest of the lights.
Of course you have, Kev.
I've got disco lights and
it's
fog.
Actually just attached to my waist. I just carry it around with me.
it's like a pole.
The old waist-mounted spotlight. Never go anywhere without it. True story.
So 1 to 10. And we will be kicking off with number one.
I'm ready for that.
I know that's quite out there and
controversial.
But that's how we're gonna do it. So number one is Are we ready? What's that weird noise? Has someone got a rain stick? Is someone gonna do
it?
It's
Peter,
dance
it
or something?
It was me on my keyboard, sorry.
You will
dusting
be.
It off.
Yeah.
so to speak.
Okay. number one, virtual representation of oneself. Number two, beginning.
What?
Number three, the continuous tale. Number four. All right. What's your keyboard ever done to you? God.
Sorry.
Eager.
I think I just lifted the laptop up too close to the microphone.
Number four. Gambling establishment. Number six. Horse-drawn two-wheeled vehicle of a hot element.
We're not getting number five, no.
Oh, that was number five. So, number one, two, three, four. Number five. Horse-drawn two-wheeled vehicle of a hot element. Number six, clothless weapon. Number seven, original phobia. Number eight, the well-behaved, the misbehaved, and the unattractive.
Nice.
Did you just laugh and then go, no?
I laughed and went, nice.
frozen precipitation of the lightest shade. And number 10, Del Laberinto del Forno.
Sorry? Can we have it in English?
Del Laberinto del Forno. No, because if I did it in English, that would be the actual title of the film.
You just changed the rules for the last question. That's just the name of the film in a different language.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's not even trying to hide it.
Yes.
I make the rules to this quiz.
Yeah, and what?
Fuck you.
Can you repeat?
Basically, Kevin.
Was this just a go-to shut-up phrase now? Can you repeat question 10, please?
Question 10 is Del Laberinto del Fondo. If you think about it, it's quite easy.
Okay.
I apologise for calling you Kevin.
That's okay.
I didn't mean to.
It's not the first time.
It won't be the last. I know. Okay, so how many do you think you got out of 10?
I'm going to say 8.
Ooh.
I have answered 8. I think I probably got 6 or 7.
Okay. Number 1, virtual representation of oneself.
Avatar.
Yes.
It is Avatar. Number 2, beginning.
I put start.
I didn't get
no. Beginning is Inception. Number 3, the continuous tale.
A never-ending story.
Yes. Number 4, gambling establishment.
Casino.
Casino.
Yep. Number 5, horse-drawn two-wheeled vehicle of a hot element.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, I didn't get this one, but now dun, I know dun, it.
Dun, 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 dun. Chariots of Fire.
It is Chariots of Fire. Well done. Number 6. That sounded really patronising. Well done.
See,
well
teacher done. Mode. I did really well on question 5 there. So, you know, pat yourself on the back for that one. Okay, well done.
Really proud of you. Yeah, you get a tick for that. You did really well.
Yes!
Number 6. Clothless weapon.
Naked gun.
Naked gun.
Yes.
Was it Chris that says weapon? Or was that you?
Weapon.
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 Is there a problem, Kevin?
There's going to be a problem, mate. Carry that one.
Number 7, original phobia.
I didn't. I put basic instinct.
No.
I didn't. I put vertigo.
No, original phobia is primal fear. Number 8, the well-behaved, the misbehaved, and the unattractive.
Good, bad, ugly.
Yeah, good, the bad, and the ugly.
6-5 to Kevin. Sorry, no, I genuinely didn't mean to say that one.
It's becoming a punishment. 6-5
to Kev. 6-5 to Kev. Number 9, frozen precipitation of the lightest shade.
Snow White.
Ooh.
It is Snow White, yes.
I didn't get that one.
Number 10, Del Laberinto.
Snow.
You'd think that the words there on the page would have done something.
I have absolutely no idea why I didn't get that one. I was even thinking of that fucking film with the dwarves. And I wrote down White Snow. So there you go. At least you know I'm honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
If a little
probably,
bit thick.
Probably, you probably should stop being honest. Number 10, Del Laberinto del Fondo.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Is Pan's Labyrinth, yes, well done. That is 8-6 to Kev.
Boom!
So that is now 2-1-1.
Now that I know that I'm guaranteed success, I do have to say my answer, Casino, was actually, I put Casino Royale, but as I said it at the same time as Peter, he stopped at Casino, so I did there as well.
Right.
Just thought I'd get that off my chest.
So you cheated effectively.
No, I didn't. No, I put Casino. The words after were just for sort of the embellishment,
you
really.
Put Casino Royale, and no. because Peter got it right, you stopped. That is a cheat.
All right, I'll lose a point.
So you lose a point for the wrong answer. So
oh, shut up.
7-6. You lose a point for cheating. So it's now 6-all.
Right.
So
where's
we go
your tiebreaker?
To a tiebreak situation. I won't tolerate it.
I thought you were meant to be honest. Peter's just demonstrated that was a good thing to do.
He was honest about being stupid. You were honest about cheating.
Oh, I see the distinction now.
Okay. Honestly.
So in future, if you cheat, don't be honest about it.
Yeah.
I'm one step away from just disqualifying you altogether.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Definitely take that tick off him for question 6.
Okay, tiebreaker. Let's go for...
Hold on, I'm just getting Google up.
It's not fair, he's got 100 megabyte broadband. I've only got 30.
Let's go for... Collect me in your hands if possible.
Catch me if you can.
No. Yes!
Yes!
Back from I didn't the know the format of the tiebreak.
It was first person to shout out.
Oh, sorry, Kev. Have you written that down?
No, I was waiting to try and get a numerical answer that was as close to the thing you were saying. I was like, what? I just didn't get it. That's fine. You're not cheating.
If you don't know the format of the tiebreaker, we'll go again. Is that fair? Do you agree, Peter?
Peter's earned it from me cheating. Unless he's cheated and not talked about it, in which case I feel slightly indignant.
No, go again. Why not? I'm having fun.
You sure?
Yeah.
So is this the same format as the previous one? Can we just do this for another half hour? So is this taking the same format?
Format. First person to shout out with the same type. So a literal title.
Can we have another one that I know?
I'll try.
I'll really try hard.
The leader of all non-spider arachnids.
Scorpion King.
Bro! Oh, that Boom! Was Kev. Oh.
Sorry, Pete.
Disappointing.
Well, there goes the old adage, cheaters never prosper.
Turns out cheaters do prosper. Aw, yeah.
So that is...
I don't know what that accent was.
That is back to Kev. So 2-1-1. Well done,
there
Kev.
You go.
Hooray.
Hurrah.
Don't cheat next time.
I won't, I promise. Well, to be fair, I did have Casino.
But you had Casino Royale.
It was a bit of a different film, I suppose. They both had casinos in.
If anything, he was giving you more information than you asked for. That should be a good thing.
Yeah, it's like an embellishment.
He won in the end.
Yeah.
Well, you could say that.
Yeah.
Who morally won? That's really what I'm asking.
The children.
Still me. So. Yeah. In your face.
Okay, so that's the quiz over and done with. You know, because we've reached the end.
Because we finished all the questions.
So we now pass over to questions.
Questions!
Question time!
Question time!
And looking on the TSI cast hashtag.
TSI cast!
TSI cast hashtag. Would you like a Murray Mint? They go all the way back to 2 days ago.
Cast your mind back, if you will. 2 days ago.
The first question on Twitter's comes from SH number 7, who is Carl
Chris.
Lipscomb.
Mini Chris.
He says, tell me the answers and then I'll enter the film competition. I'm sorry, Carl, that's not a question. I don't know if you've understood the format of
that.
And
also,
hashtag.
We don't really condone cheating here on the Oscar Mike Media podcast. So.
Exactly.
And also, we've done the film competition.
Yeah, don't you know the format by now?
And then the next one's DJ at Second Nature with, again, not a question. It just says, listening to my first TSA cast in months.
Boo.
Hearing how B-Pro complain about people overreacting is rich. That one actually made me laugh.
King Kev, overreaction.
Would you like to take the next one?
I'm still trying to find... I think I've gone too far back.
Okay. Carl, again, Carl Lipscomb, he says, do ye like me new hat?
Has he got a new picture of his new hat?
I'm just looking. There is
He's
a picture.
Essentially
his
wearing
twit.
The plushy helmet thing from Skyrim.
I see.
I quite like your hat.
Yeah,
oh, right.
It's nice. Probably don't wear it in public, but yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I wouldn't wear it to Tesco.
Maybe actually do wear it to Tesco's because you probably get to the front of the queue more quickly than you otherwise might. People getting out your way in that, so.
I saw a small child this week in Belfast city centre who had a hat that came all the way over his face. It was like a hat, but it went up the back of his neck. It had like a tail on it as well. It went down the back of his neck, and it came up over the top of his head and covered his face, and he just had two little eye holes, and it made him look like a big hairy monkey.
Yeah, he's freaky. Are you sure it wasn't a big medical hairy monkey condition?
I'm fairly sure, unless it was a monkey that had shaved its hands.
They do that from time to time. That's
monkeys
what gorillas in the mist
have
was about.
Hairy hands, do they? Leathery hands.
Hairier than this small child.
On the palm, though. On the palm, it's leathery, but the tops are really hairy. It's like Robin Williams.
Only with better impressions.
Carl also says,
Carl, it's not your podcast.
Yeah. Limelight Hole. He says, from
it's
Freya.
Because we didn't have a
Lipscomb
come on this one.
Yeah.
Who's Freya?
He's representing.
I was going to say, I don't know who Freya is.
Girlfriend.
Carl's got a girlfriend.
That'd be cool if she was called Afreya. Afreya.
Probably, it's probably not now. It's probably going to be like his sister or something.
His sister.
He'll be at home just completely creeped out.
It's his mum. Good times.
Well, hello, Freya, if you're listening.
Yeah, hello, Freya.
Thanks for listening.
From Freya, what would you say is the best RPG for a girl?
I think that gender-based game recommendations is sexist. That's what I think.
Ooh, stick you.
Yeah, also,
and
you
your
should...
mother too.
You should just...
And your daddy. Stick you.
M-A-M-A, where'd you come from anyway? Your mama. Your mama.
So, best RPG for a girl. I've not played Cooking Mama. Is that an RPG?
No.
Wasn't sure. There's a great horse simulator on the iPad, which you might like.
That you have no experience with.
Do you see what I mean?
None of us have bought that.
No, obviously I've never played it or downloaded it today. So, the question at hand does lend itself to saying things like that. Girls can have whatever sort of interests they like. They're not some alien breed that only like a specific thing. So
yeah, and most RPGs now, like Fallout and Oblivion and all that lot, give you the option to play as a girl as well.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the Imagine series of games on the, the DS.
You're veering from saying, I don't like the question, it's a sexist question, to picking the most sexist games you can think
it's
of.
It's an ironic juxtaposition, Pete. That's
I get it.
Yeah. My valid opinion is that I think girls can like as many very different things as boys can like. I mean, there might even be boys who like that Imagine series of games. I don't think there's boys or girls that like the Imagine series of games, to be honest.
Animal Hospital on the DS. Yeah.
That Imagine journalism that Peter Willington was talking about when he was on the cast.
Yeah.
It just sounds truly awful.
Yeah, absolutely. But they must sell.
Yeah, they keep making them.
Very prosperous series. They made like half a dozen of them now. I know a few girls. One or two.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Sweet. You got any numbers?
What are they like?
And
what is girl?
I know some girls who have enjoyed the Fable series of action RPGs and also the Persona series of JRPGs. Spring to mind. But I would concur with Kev.
Thanks.
Just generally.
Name right.
Not necessarily on this issue, just generally I would concur with Kev. Apart from when it comes to the whole horse management app.
What, you think it's really good and that, unlike me who thinks it's awful and wouldn't ever download it today?
I'm definitely not downloading it, no matter how much he talks about it.
My horse is called Bella.
Huh? Oh, of course it is. Bella, you named your horse after one of the characters in Twilight.
If you're a girl and you like games... I got nothing. I downloaded a horse sim, all right, and I'm happy with that. I am proud.
Yeah,
I can admit that.
See.
Okay. Next question comes from Dab, and he says, "What game have you not played this year that you feel you should have?"
Assassin's Creed Revelation and Uncharted
3. Yeah, I was going to say, sort of touched on it just now. Yeah, same here. Both of those.
I've played all the games that I know of, all that I wanted to play, I think. apart from
Skyrim. It
doesn't
quite fulfill the criteria of the question, but I never got to play Portal 2's co-op.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It doesn't fill the criteria of the question, then don't bother.
Oh, so I thought
this is a professional podcast.
Since when?
Well, we were kind of hoping since you joined, we might get a little bit more professional.
Oh no, yeah, no, I brought that to the table totally. Yeah, totes done that. So yeah, no problem.
The next question comes from the man that couldn't be asked to be here tonight.
Can I do this one?
You can.
How much coffee have you had today? I've had a bleep ton.
Because I don't swear, but he does. My head hurts a little bit. Chris has had a lot of coffee today, presumably in preparation for really trying to hold in a wee while he's presenting a website he's launching.
Apparently he's had a metric shit ton.
Not the imperial, of course. Very important to distinguish. I haven't had any coffee. I don't drink hot drinks. I think we've established that before.
I've had one coffee, four teas, Blackberry Lucozade, and Pepsi Max.
I'm currently enjoying an orange squash.
Gross. I have had...
That one doesn't have caffeine in it.
Four cups of coffee and two cups of tea and a can of Dr. Pepper Zero, because I'm health conscious that way.
I've had three glasses of water and an orange squash.
And a horrible...
You might be health conscious, but you're obviously not taste conscious.
Dr. Pepper's delicious.
Dr. Pepper
but Zero's not.
Oh, no.
Zero's rank.
No, it's Zero. My wife bought it.
Zero tastes like brown water with piss in it.
Well, I wouldn't know. It's been a long time since I had brown water with piss in it.
Well, look,
it's like the water
times are tough,
all right?
We've got to make money somehow.
And you get that brown water coming out of the bath because it hasn't been run for a while. Have a little piss in there. Scrap some in a nice little drink there and then just have some else.
Sell it on.
And call it, Dr. Pepper Zero.
I've also had some really cheap energy drink, Red Bull, like, substitute stuff, which was absolutely disgusting.
Well, what did you expect?
Is it like Asda's that they call it, like, Blue Zip?
I think it may have been Kick. It's Tesco's own brand, I think. It definitely features a K in the title somewhere. It tastes kind of like Red Bull if it's had a little dash of orange juice in it.
I just think all of those drinks are pretty disgusting. It tastes more like something you should use to thin paint than consume.
Oh, talking of which, white spirit, I've had a couple of that today.
A couple of them.
Now that I'm pretty sure is meant for paint thinning.
Half pint of meths.
Oh, well, no, of course, if we're talking drugs, then Jesus, I've done a lot.
And a shot of LSD. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm fucking wired. Next question comes from Bar 66, and he says...
It's a trap!
He says, have you asked for any gaming best gifts for Christmas?
Yes. Assassin's Creed Revelations and Uncharted 3.
Yes, Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to play that motherfucker.
Did you enjoy it at EGX?
No, hated it at EGX.
So you thought, what better reason?
No, but I've seen a few people playing it, and I've sat there and thought, you know what? I actually could lose myself in this game.
Yes.
You gotta lose yourself in the Skyrim. You know it. You want it. You know, never let it show. Cause
if you're gonna do it,
what?
Know the lyrics first.
I'll have you know, I'm Marshall's biggest fan.
I'll have you know that that's my karaoke song.
Is it?
Yeah.
We'll have to go karaoke
sometime.
You can do that, and I'll do Adele.
Oh, that and a bit of Frank Sinatra, and also, of course, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Of course.
Of course, why not?
Toto's Africa. Is,
Islands in the
China
stream,
in your hand.
In which he takes on the part of Dolly Parton.
He's so versatile, he does Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, simultaneously.
Now there's a video we all don't want to buy.
Dolly Parton through the nose. Kenny Rogers through the mouth. Well, that was last night. Anyway, that was my night. Last night.
And you got this image of you snorting Dolly Parton and doing something rather devious with Kenny Rogers.
It's an outward motion. Dolly Parton is coming through the nose. Kenny Rogers emanating from the
it's
mouth.
Like you're playing a country didgeridoo.
Exactly.
Oh, gross. Now I've got an image of him playing Dolly Parton like a didgeridoo.
Oh, come on now. That's filthy. That's disgusting.
No, Kev, don't.
She's a lovely lady.
Didgeridoo, don't.
Put her down.
Put the dolly down.
Oh, walk away from the Parton.
How do we get to this from Christmas gifts?
The next question, again, it's not a question. Chris, you should know the format of this by now.
There's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Any of you Mokes. Looking forward to the new Red Dwarf series? Says Mokesize. I didn't know there was a new Red Dwarf series.
I always assume that's like meant to be pronounced Italian. Like Moacici.
Moacici.
Spot the cultured one on the podcast.
But I'm probably
wrong. Oh, Italian la-di-da.
That's fancy like so international.
He's like, well cultured. So, I didn't know there was a new Red Dwarf series.
No, I didn't know either. And
I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I had
based on the
it.
First comeback of it.
Yeah, they did that thing where they
basically... Oh, that 2009 three-part special one?
Yeah, well, they did half of it in the that. Coronation Street set.
Did they?
Yeah.
Craig Charles was like, well, I'm here anyway, so we might as well... sorry, that wasn't a great Craig Charles impression. I do apologize.
It wasn't a bad Cilla Black.
Blankety blank.
blind data. Yeah, no, I think it's probably going to be fucking awful. But yeah. I wish that there was more Red Dwarf, because Red Dwarf was really great.
Yeah.
I just think if they do it again now, it's going to be terrible.
It's quite dated, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But it's classic. And as soon as you bring something that's classic now, it's just like, well, that's just not good now.
Yeah. The only one I think that managed to do it was Only Fools and Horses. But even then, it lacked some of the charm that it had.
Yeah.
Not the, not the one where they're teenagers?
No, the one where they came back and won shitloads of money with a pocket watch. Yeah.
Did you see that Rock and Chips, Only Fools and Horses?
No, I ignored that.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's got Nicholas Lyndhurst in it.
Yeah, well, so is the original. I think you're fine.
Yeah, I know, but Nicholas Lyndhurst now...
Yeah, but he doesn't play the same character.
I don't give a shit what he plays.
It's really
the rest of them are all really young. Nicholas Lyndhurst.
he's playing a teenager. It's just a 60-year-old man playing a teenager.
Just in his normal clothes, but he puts on a baseball cap. Yeah. No, it's like a crossover with that other thing he did where he travelled back to the war.
Oh, Goodnight Sweetheart.
I like that. Goodnight Sweetheart, yeah. Goodnight Sweetheart, well, it's time to go.
Are we at karaoke now?
Yeah.
I wish.
Oh, the thought of karaoke makes me feel physically ill.
I was just Googling Nicholas Lyndhurst brilliant. To see how old he was, because you know how I like to fact check here.
And, 52.
Google's suggestions, the top result was Nicholas Lyndhurst address. I don't want to stalk him.
Maybe they're talking about some sort of speech he gave, like the Gettysburg address.
Oh, maybe, yeah. his middle name's Simon. Nicholas Simon Lyndhurst.
Lovely.
Born in 1961, so you do the maths.
50.
Thanks.
Oh, so close. The next question is from Christian again.
Yeah.
Watchmen 2 seems to be confirmed. Fucking bullshit.
I actually tweeted him back saying that's not strictly a question, so we can't really accept that on the podcast.
His next one is the heavily rumoured, not 100% confirmed yet, Watchmen 2 comic bullshit? If so, why?
Yes.
It's like a GCSE question.
Discuss.
Yeah.
Yes.
Illustrate the relationship between Watchmen 2 and the comic bullshit.
It's a steaming pile of Hotspur. It's a classic. You can't bring classics back. Look at Red Dwarf, look at GoldenEye. I mean, we've covered it before. You just can't.
Is Watchmen a classic, though?
Yeah, the comic. I don't know about the film, but I'd say the comic was
pretty
seminal.
Oh, the comic book is. The comic book is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, the Watchmen comic book is like, it's on the New York Times top 100 novels. List.
It is pretty good.
It's really, really good. And it has a giant blue man with his cock out.
And honestly, I couldn't ask for more in any media.
It's like a yardstick I judge all my entertainment media by.
You must be disappointed on a daily basis.
No, I've got stickers.
Watching EastEnders, no giant blue cock.
I've just had stickers printed.
Excuse me for saying cock. I didn't mean to say cock. I won't say cock again.
he meant penis.
I did.
Which I find you more amusing swear. Than cock.
I'm fairly used to it, to be honest. I mean, having one.
Is it blue?
How amusing.
He's a smurf from the shoulders down.
Yeah.
Yes, the new watch. If they're making a new watch.
No, I'm a smurf book. Between the waist and the knees.
That's where he keeps all his smurf.
Lucky I wear a sort of a white onesie that's shoes and trousers, just like a smurf would.
Smurf doesn't wear a onesie. He wears well, white like shorts halfsie, and then white really, shoes.
No, if you look at a
no,
smurf,
they're shorts.
They're attached. No, white trousers all the way down to the shoes, which are attached to the freaky trousers.
No, they're not.
Trust me, blood. I'm glad for real.
Oh, Kev knows his smurfs. He's right.
I'm smurfing right.
Apart from Papa Smurf.
Can I get a smurf yet? Yeah, he wears a red halvesie, doesn't
red
he?
Red dungarees.
No, just a halvesie, apparently.
Oh.
Not dungarees at all. And Smurfette, she wears a dress.
Oh, she is smurfing hot, though, isn't she?
Smurfing hot.
I'd smurfing smurf that.
Oh, I think I just smurfed
either
a little
Robot
bit
Chicken
in my
or
mail.
Family Guy, I think. I can't remember which.
Papa Smurf is called Papa Schlumpf in Germany.
Hmm. Well, Papa Smurf.
Are the rest of them called the Schlumpfen?
I assume something similar. That.
Die Schlumpfen.
Die Schlumpfen.
Ah, Papa Schlumpf. Du bist ein gestanzen Flocken.
I'm quite disturbed by the fact that as you type Smurf into Google, one of the most searched terms is obviously Smurfette.
Yeah. That's
well,
a bit
she is
creepy.
Fit, though, to be fair.
Oh, I bet there are some disgusting cartoons of Smurfette.
Well, this now is the internet parties. You're talking about.
I'm almost tempted to look.
Well, do that in your own time, please.
I have a mental image now. It couldn't be as bad as my mental image.
I typed Smurf into Google and then did image search, and like halfway down the page, there's someone's made a Clockwork Orange Smurf.
Oh, that'd be entertaining. Yeah,
that's quite. That's a crossover and half.
Yeah. All right. Next question. What was the question? Oh, yeah, Watchmen. Yeah, it's bullshit, because it's classic. I'm sorry for saying bullshit. I keep swearing.
Is stop this apologising. Swear more.
No. Swear less.
Yeah, on the open.
Death by Numbers says, how many games have you bought, but not yet played? We're getting a theme here, I think. I'm sure I must be hitting the mid to late 20s now. Well, Death by Numbers. I too am hitting the mid to late 20s. I only recently turned 25 and I've bought in fact, I've played all the games I've bought because I don't have more money than sense like you seem to. So maybe, you know, chill out, be a bit more thrifty.
Just don't buy them until you're ready to play them, and then they're likely to be a little bit cheaper as well.
Exactly. Although, rather than going, well, I bought all these 60 quid games, so which one shall I play first?
Having said that, my Steam list, my library on Steam, probably is about 50-50 games I've played and games I bought thinking I'm going to play and then never got around to.
See, my problem with games I haven't played is because of PS Plus, because there's so many free minis and stuff I've got on my PlayStation that I've literally never even opened.
But though, anything in my Steam library that I haven't played, I've bought for like 50p in the Steam sales. In my defence, I don't think I've bought any games at full retail price that I haven't played yet. Oh,
because that would be mental.
Vanquish. I have a copy of Vanquish still in its cellophane.
I don't even know what that is.
No, it was the Sega cover-based shooter that came out last year, but it dropped in price really quickly, and I thought it was like a special deal, so I bought it when it was like 15 quid.
Quick, snap it up.
Yeah, I thought, oh, it's got really cheap, I'll buy it now, because then I'll get round to it, because it's meant to be pretty good. So I bought it for like 15 quid, and then
I was going
to
say, is it any good? But you don't know.
It just stayed cheap.
Yeah, fair enough.
Who knows? But no, Lewis? I don't have like a pile.
Anything to add, Lewis?
Huh?
He's gone for
anything
a smoke.
Anything to add?
Do what?
Don't worry.
What? What did you say?
Anything to add to the answers we've given? How many games have you bought but not yet played?
Oh, none.
Good. Kevling says, what is the chance
of randomly picking the right answer to this question. Is it A, 25%, B, 50%, C, 60%, D, 25%?
Ah, that's a trick question right there.
The chance is I'm going to go B.
Really?
50%.
I know the answer to this, I think.
I don't.
There's 225.
Yeah. Exactly, which makes half of the...
Yeah. The question doesn't actually tell you that it has to be one of those choices, though. So the chance of randomly picking the right answer to this question.
It's just 1 in 4. It's just 25%.
No.
Yeah.
Randomly picking the right answer to this question.
Yeah, it's got to be 1 in 4. So, yeah, it has to be 25%.
But it doesn't say that you have to choose from the multiple choices. So it's actually 66.7%. Because there are three choices.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because there's 225s.
Oh. I see.
I would suggest that that's probably a brain teaser, which has no right answer, or the right answer is incredibly...
And has no place on this podcast.
I was going to say, yeah.
Our brains aren't to be teased. They're very fragile.
I like it, though.
Here's the source for that question. 809 comments and counting.
Ooh.
Are we going to read all 809 of them?
Yep. Comment number one. Obviously, that's a nice question, which deserves
it. CC Star asks.
Yeah. Oh, and it would be 33%, 33.3% chance of hitting, because there's three options. So it's a third, 1 in 3.
A turd.
Anyway.
Speaking of turd, did you see that story of the tattoo artist who tattooed an entire turd on his ex-girlfriend's back?
Because
he found out she was cheating on him.
Yes, I did. I found it very amusing.
Quite funny, because the person I sit next to at work was like, that's horrible. I was like, it's quite funny.
At what point did she not realise?
What I found funny was that she'd asked for a scene from Narnia.
Which would make her more of a
turd.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she tried to get him charged with assault, but she had signed disclaimers to let him...
Do what you like,
yeah, basically. The artwork on her back was at the artist's discretion or something. That was where it was worded. It's very amusing.
Pretty sneaky. Got to feel sorry for a bit.
So there's a lesson to you. If you are going out with a tattooist, don't sleep around.
Yeah.
And then don't ask for a tattoo from them.
Yeah. If you're going to get a tattoo,
probably sleep around if you're not going
to
get a tattoo.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Use your new tattoo to pick up men. Because all men love a scene of Narnia on somebody's back.
It did mildly grate on me that I think it was the Sun website that was reporting this, and it said that she wanted a scene from the Narnia trilogy, and I was like, ooh, hey, hang on a minute. I think you'll find there's more than three books, so I guess maybe she just...
And also, you can't have a scene from the Narnia trilogy.
From the Narnia trilogy?
Narnia trilogy.
From the Narnia trilogy, because that would be three scenes.
Mm. Yeah, they don't share a scene between the films, do they?
No.
Maybe it's going to be like one of those montage paintings that they used to advertise movies.
Like the Star Wars posters.
Yeah.
Which are sweet.
CC Star says, original compositions or popular music tracks as backing themes for games.
Original.
As backing / themes. Yeah, original.
I think
definitely.
It depends on the game. Things like Burnout work quite well with a licensed soundtrack.
No.
See, Burnout's a shit. We had this discussion the other day on Twitter. I think with Burnout Paradise, I got to the point where I... turned off every single song that wasn't classical, so I just had classical
See,
music.
I really like Guns N' Roses, and I really like Paradise City, but...
And it ruined it. Please.
The rest of the Burnout Paradise soundtrack was like a bad compilation CD that you've bought in a garage.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked the song Paradise City, but it got to a point where I was like, yes, we get it. You're called Paradise fucking City.
Well done.
Yeah.
God, I see really what you've done there.
I did like it when they put the classical music on and you're just like cruising around this beautiful city with classical music.
Yeah, it's brilliant because when you do a crash and it goes slow-mo and you've got like Moonlight Sonata playing in the background.
It's quite beautiful.
A little bit serial killer-ish.
Why?
Massive carnage going on and Moonlight Sonata playing in the background.
Yeah, but Moonlight Sonata is quite a somber track. I wasn't being disrespectful.
Hmm.
It'd be different if I had like the Nutcracker Suite playing whilst... You're wrapping yourself around a lamppost.
I just picture you listening to classical music while you carve up pedestrians.
Oh, yeah, no, that's... I mean, yeah, fair play, that's...
No, just put a bit of Yeah, a bit of burly Ozon while I'm cruising down the streets GTA style. Sure. Who doesn't? Who doesn't do that? A bit of Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Don't mind if
exactly.
I do. Crash. Crash.
Bit of Four Seasons, I just snap someone's legs in half.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it does. Now you do that, it's like you are one step away from cutting someone's face off and wearing it like a hat.
Yep.
Which is also on my to-do list. It's not, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone there thinks that.
They automatically come off when he's ticked them.
Sees these dusts. How is everyone buying pretty much exactly the same game for the 7th time with Mario Kart 7?
It's not the same.
It is, sort of.
Well, he says, how is everyone buying pretty much exactly the same? Well, you go to a shop and pay money for it.
Ah, you're so funny.
Yeah, thanks.
It is very similar, but to be fair, that's the same notion that like Gran Turismo 5 is exactly the same as Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
It's updated in several ways, which are not massive genre-shifting ways, but add tweaks to the gameplay. It's like everybody I bought FIFA 12 this year, but I bought FIFA 11 last year, and FIFA 10 the year before, and, you know, you buy it for the little tweaks to the gameplay, and the core gameplay is the same, but the core gameplay is really good.
So, oh my god.
That's
hold
why.
The phone.
Okay.
The Stevens podcast forum thread has gone into 2 pages.
No way.
Way. Oh,
mental. We will reach that in a minute with CC Star's
apologize.
Last question. Yes. So you should.
I'm so sorry. So, so sorry.
Says, will Nintendo, because I refuse to call them Ninty.
Yeah, good on you.
What the fuck is that? Will Nintendo ever launch a new franchise?
Ooh, scathing. I think you'll find that they actually just launched. Hang on.
He's obviously in one of his cheerful moods.
He has those? Nintendo. I'm just Googling Nintendo.
He doesn't even listen to this podcast.
They might,
does he?
They launched Pikmin, was their last big original one, I think.
They probably released loads of new stuff in Japan that they just think the Western audience wouldn't like.
I don't know. At a certain point, do they need to?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Well, people buy all their old stuff.
Well, I suppose in a business sense, do they need to? Possibly not, but...
It would be nice to see them do something different.
It's a bit stale otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, what have we had, though? Pikmin is new this generation. That was a Wii game, I think. Wii Sports. There you go, and Wii Fit. New franchises. Yeah.
They released Wii Sports Plus. That's it.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll do like Wii U Sports. Of course they will. What am I talking about? Of course they will. And they'll do Mario, Sports. Wii U Mario Land or Mario World.
Every time someone says Wii U and then a title, I just think they're saying, will you? Wii U Mario? Oh, I don't mind. I think.
Yeah.
Wii U?
Yeah, I wonder what they'll do actually with that, with the Wii U, if they'll just do everything U. That'll be like Super Mario World U.
U, yeah. That would be rubbish. But then Wii is a rubbish name. So is Wii U.
Yeah, Wii U's
got away with it so far. Anyway, what about the 2010 release Snowpack Park? You know? You can't count these things out. Known in Japan as Penguin Seikatsu. It's a life simulation game, of course, developed by Skip Limited. It's WiiWare. I don't know if that counts.
Probably not. They're all published by Nintendo, aren't they?
Oh, maybe. All right, 2009's Excitebike World Rally.
Excitebike was WiiWare. An NES game as well.
Rock and Roll Climber. That's WiiWare. They haven't released a new thing since the 80s.
I think Pikmin was the last one, which was a Wii game. It might have been a GameCube game, but... Yeah.
That looked quite charming, I think, Pikmin.
Yeah, people like Pikmin.
Just to mention, Teflon actually did respond to that himself. I mean, Tef, you're not really part of the podcast, but I'll read it out anyway. he says, of course they will. It's quite rare, admittedly, but they will.
That's
Optimistic.
Yeah.
I admire that man's optimism.
Yeah, it's nice. I also have two questions which are addressed as a reply to me without the hashtag on.
Well, they don't count.
Oh, I have a relevant question which is addressed to me from a protected user.
Ooh. Please. So
that won't show up in the stream. It's from a certain Mr. Novi.
I know him.
And his question is, do you not hate yourself for not being more of a Mario fan?
Mary who?
Mario.
It's a me, shut up.
No, nobody a Mario fan then?
Go back to playing tennis or golf or karting or whatever it is. You're just clearly an avid sportsman.
You'd think with all the sports, you'd lose a bit of weight, wouldn't you?
Has there ever been a Mario plumbing simulation?
I was going to say, he hasn't done his job once.
I really like Mario. I think Mario's a fantastic platform games.
Yeah, all right.
And even the kart games are pretty good.
I would quite like to see a Mario plumbing simulator.
That puzzle game where like you have to move the pipes
yeah.
around.
Get the water to
no,
the right place.
None
yeah.
of this crap. None of this little Tetris clones with Mario's face at the side of the screen. That's not what I want. I want Mario. I want to control him, move him around, maybe Heavy Rain style, sit him down at a toilet and get him to crank some nuts. That's what I want.
Going into a plumber's merchant, I need 3 Essex flanges, yeah. 1 soil pipe,
oh.
and a bunch of bolts.
4 candles. I would actually love, with them making the Wii U, I'd love it if they made a Super Mario World, but it was like a gritty urban drama.
That'd be awesome. Super Mario
meets
GTA.
Yeah. GTA Mario.
Just goes around kicking turtles across the street.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Knocking people upside their head with a wrench.
Just stamping on people he doesn't like. Just jumping on their heads.
And his cars could be carts. This is all too easy. Why haven't they done this yet?
No imagination at Nintendo.
Fucking Ninty.
Shall I read Stephen's questions out from Twitter?
Somebody probably should.
He says, will you read out all of the questions in a Darth Vader voice? Well, the thing is, we've just done all the questions. So, probably ask that. He did ask another one. He says,
also, would you like a cup of coffee, tea, latte, cappuccino, Coke, Pepsi, porn, beer, cats, or hot chocolate?
He said Darth Vader.
Oh, sorry. I missed. No, I thought he said.
Not an asthmatic.
I thought he said speak into a cup. Sorry.
Also, I think you're probably reading last week's question thread.
No, that was 26 minutes ago. He said that on Twitter to me.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe he really wanted the question answered.
Yeah.
Didn't answer it last time.
Ask some new questions.
I'm not going to answer that because it's a ridiculous question. AshW92 says, hopefully not late. Hi, guys. Bought Iron Man 2 game because it was £4. It wasn't worth 4p. Best way to destroy it? Question mark?
Microwave it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you've got a microwave, not everyone does. I don't, but
all right, set fire to it.
If you could ignite it in some way.
What's the question?
Amish people.
What's the best way to destroy his Iron Man 2 game that he bought?
Oh.
I think probably bury it in the garden. Dig it up in 50 to 60 years' time. See how it's fared.
Clean it with a Brillo pad.
Destroy it with time itself.
You could do what Tomorrow's World did when they introduced the CD to the world and smear jam on it.
Look, you can put jam all over it. You can bend it and you can...
They really did that.
Put it in a sandwich.
CDs, they're indestructible. And they showed you that you could...
But why would you put jam on it?
You could scrub them on your floor and you could put jam on it and then you just wipe it off and it plays.
Yeah, and it goes...
Well, if Modern Warfare's taught me anything, that means it's been shot.
Little jam around a hole in the middle. Yeah. So that's it for Twitter questions.
Perhaps don't destroy it. Perhaps just trade it in.
Yeah, for that 4p that you wanted.
Trade it back in. That way someone else spends money to buy it. Therefore, you get the last laugh.
And the circle is complete. So, Solid Steven acts crazy to prevent himself from becoming a bitter man and is in charge of TSA questions. Smiley face with number 8 eyes and a little less than sign goatee. Sorry, greater than sign goatee. Says, it's the time of the week again, and it's the Christmas period. The always blue Peter, the Batman's
longer. Ooh, cracked a bit there.
The film critic Lewis and the man of many voices. He said Kevinatron, which I'm not really a big fan of.
Oh, even Steven's mugging you off.
You, Steven, I'll get you one of these days, I'll get you. Wants you to ask them a few questions and do their work. Rude. Have you put up your decorations?
No.
Nah.
No.
Bop. Bloody humbug, that's what I say. And excuse the language. God.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm getting pretty strong now. he said, is Chris and Peter dreading the G-O-T-Y? I'm gonna stop you there. R-A-R-E would have been the more appropriate first word of that sentence. Are Chris and Peter dreading the G-O-T-Y? Chris isn't here, but I can answer for him. He's actually really looking forward to it, I think. Yeah, pleased. He was singing about it the other day, so...
He's making up little songs and writing them down in his notebook.
I can't wait for Game of the Year. I can't wait for the Game of the Year. I can't wait for the Game of the Year. Because it's what I can't wait for. That's what...
Four.
And then he just started saying four and penguin a whole bunch of times, so... Sorry, Chris. Didn't we deserve that? Will you vote for me as the TSA member of the year if I bribe you with cake?
No.
Definitely not. No question about it. You would.
Because that cake will have razor blades in it.
Yeah. Or raisins at the very least.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Cake with raisins. Are you mental? And his last question is simply, Spebbies?
I got email questions as well. Sorry.
Oh, God. We're chock-a-block with questions today. Thanks, readers. I mean, listeners. Yules simply says, what kind of cake? I'm not sure if that's in response to Stephen or asking us for our preferences, really.
I'd always go chocolate cake, personally. In fact, I have been eating chocolate birthday cake this evening.
Whose birthday was it?
It was my wife's birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Danielle.
Oh.
Good birthday, whiffery of Peter.
Both is good. Both terms are fine. Danielle and Whiffery.
Perfectly fine. That's how she defines herself.
Does she listen to the podcast?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, well, say happy birthday from us, won't you?
I will.
You could say, we could say what we like.
I have actually played her little bits of the podcast sometimes.
Oh, that's nice.
She thinks that everybody else is very funny and I swear too much.
Oh, I think that too.
Probably fair, to be honest.
No, you have your moments of funniness as well. Come on, let's not be too hard on you here. You have your little golden shining moments of fun.
I thought you were going to say golden showers.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, sir.
I was going to say it was her birthday, not mine. Anyway.
Yeah, do excuse me for saying bloody earlier. I do apologise. Coming on a little strong. McProly, who I've never seen before, it's only got 13 posts, so welcome, McProly.
Hurrah!
Says, he's actually just saying what kind of cake he likes. Coffee and walnut for me, and it shall be done.
Oh, coffee and walnut cake. That sounds delicious.
Coffee-flavoured stuff's rank, apart from coffee.
No, you see, I disagree. It's the opposite way around. Coffee is rank, but coffee-flavoured things I can really get behind.
Kev.
Well, I will.
What about banana-flavoured things?
Yeah, happy with those?
Yeah, I like banana-flavoured things.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Especially those foam bananas that you get in, like, penny mixes.
Well, that's not really real food, is it? It's sort of polystyrene. More than anything.
Oh, it's good enough for the Ewoks. It's good enough for us.
Coffee. Have you ever had... Now, this is a treat and quite deluxe, but you can get, around Christmas time especially, you can get chocolate-coated coffee beans that have been roasted.
Ooh,
I know it sounds mental.
That sounds rank.
Because you don't eat coffee beans, you drink them. But actually, they're really nice.
I've eaten coffee beans.
Yeah? How did you find it?
A little bit bitter.
Yeah. Put some chocolate on it, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, they taught us to eat coffee beans when I was training to be a barista. They
say at school.
Coffee beans.
Yeah, no, they make you eat the coffee bean to taste it and see what it's like, so that you can do it without. So that you don't actually brew coffee from it. You can just bite into the coffee bean and you know what the coffee's going to taste like. A little bit dry.
Okay, so Yules has said, because in the interim, our very own Peter said, I love our readers / listeners, straight to the most important matters, quoting the cake-based questions. And then Yules has responded to that. Oh, sorry about that. Can you explain a little bit more about this thread, please? In what way would you be dreading Game of the Year? I can answer some of the questions. Nope, the wife told the wife decorations did not go up before December, despite having seen the Coca-Cola advert. Bribery doesn't work, even with Waitrose's finest cake. I'm a man of morals and ethics, don't you know? He actually said, I'm a man or morals and ethics. I don't think he means he's a man or morals. I don't think those two are really a choice that you have. Again, this isn't the Yules cast, but I'll carry on. He says, I would probably vote either Alex Nofi or Greg Watchful McGee or whatever he's called. Yeah, I think Watchful would have done. For the following reasons. What we played is my most enjoyable read each week. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Even though I had to wait until quite late last Friday, and I had to read it in my own time and not works. That's why.
Needy?
That's why I would vote for Greg.
Oh.
Apologies
for that. We'll try and fill up your work day for you next time.
Yeah, he also says, Alex and I had very different opinions of the Modern Warfare 3's family blown up scene. However, he was very open to my points and didn't get stupid like some people did. Some people got stupid, yo! He doesn't say that. That was just my own interjection.
You've embellished it slightly.
We've come to learn of your ad-libs.
as soon as I go into my 1980s blackfloitation voice. It's just a racist impression, really. I do apologise. Might cut that one out, actually. I also...
hardly worth editing out of the podcast.
I also enjoyed his recent Modern Warfare 3 article, which kind of slated Modern Warfare 3. However, he told me of his surprising enjoyment of the game. A third contender could have been the chap who unselfishly purchased two copies of Uncharted 3, one for a TSA competition. However,
that was me.
However, he doesn't get my vote, as I didn't win.
Oh, well, fuck me then. I should have purchased like 2,000 and just given one to everyone.
Yep.
Is there a question?
No, I think what's happened there is that he's read Solid Steven's introduction and not quite understood that this is a thread for asking questions for this podcast. Perfectly understandable, because it's not really explained anywhere in Solid Steven's introduction that might be the case.
No, he doesn't actually mention podcast at all, other than TSA cast in the actual title of the thread. Mm. So
he relies on people finding this thread and knowing that we also do a podcast where we answer questions.
Mm.
Which clearly they don't.
No. although Solid Steven has set him straight. He said, you're not supposed to answer the questions, as they refuse to touch used ones.
Oh.
that is true.
I love that. They refuse to touch used ones.
I mean, we've made an exception in this case, because Yules obviously doesn't know the... hey, Yules don't know the rules. sorry, you could hear the thought process going on there.
You struggled to keep the blaxploitation under control there.
You don't know the rules! anyway. Lol, it's a tempting offer, says Yules in reply. Oh, sorry, no, Stephen also said, the cake is a mystery. What if I get to...
At this point, we're just reading a podcast. Just reading a forum thread.
I'm going to find some more
questions.
Are there
actually any questions in there? My email question, Kev, you may want to shield your ears. Question for everyone as well. This comes from Ralph Thompson, who entered with the wrong answer this week. That sounded really harsh, didn't it? I didn't mean it to be like that.
So, even though you were wrong, we'll read your question out.
Yeah. With TSA getting bigger and bigger, have you seen a rise in people listening to the podcast? If so, do you think you'd change the style to make it more accessible to newcomers? Would you cut down on the offending jokes and such to compete with larger podcasts? I'd prefer it if you didn't, to be honest, because as someone who lives in Glasgow, I always find it funny when someone's referred to as being a cunt. He did put C star star T, but you know.
But you thought you'd embellish that one, didn't you?
Oh, I can spell.
No.
What was the question? Yeah, sorry, I was so offended I didn't actually...
Would we change the podcast to try and compete with other bigger podcasts.
No,
and make it,
that's not TSA style.
Make it more...
We change. I'm striking.
Yeah.
We don't change for no
one. I don't know about the other guys, but I don't do this podcast to get people to listen to it. I do it because I enjoy it.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm the opposite. No, I hate it, but I just need the exposure.
Gives it for the attention.
So, yeah, and I think I would rather have few listeners and still enjoy it than it become work. Because we all do enough work.
Exactly.
Did you see that comment on the OPPS podcast?
Sorry? Don't think there are enough P's in that sentence.
Yeah, official PlayStation podcast. Apparently they started up one. Yeah. And on the first episode, someone wrote a comment saying, I don't know if it was a dig at us in jet, but it sort of fitted the criteria. Other so-called podcasts that claim to be about gaming and...
end up talking shit about movies and that.
Yeah. And I thought, at no point did we ever specifically say this is a purely gaming podcast.
In fact, I believe if you listen to the intro theme...
I'm from Screen Demon.
Yeah. In the intro theme, it says video games, movies, comics, pew, 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 a podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
It doesn't say pew, pew, pew.
No, it's got punch noises, sound effects.
Well,
you not notice those?
They don't say anything, do they? They're just noises.
Well, I mean, it says a lot about what you're to expect, really. I mean, it doesn't say it with words verbally, but there's, you know, you can say things non-verbally, can't you?
No,
you can't. That's ridiculous.
You can get feelings across non-verbally. You can't say things non-verbally.
Meanwhile, in the podcast questions thread, Yules has finally said, I think McProly enlightened me to the meaning of this thread. Do we ask questions and then you TSA guys discuss on your podcast? Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Correct.
That's exactly it. Well done.
That is the answer to your question. Yes. Muggsy Ballone stepped in here and goes, yep, sometimes the if I do it in comedy voices. Other times their own. But they're pretty funny sounding too.
I like Muggsy Ballone.
Yeah, I do too. Solid Steven says, oh, they forget about this, thus forcing me to stalk them. Firstly,
never forgotten,
I think we've
it.
Forgotten
get
once,
over it.
I think. And possibly in my
well,
first...
he needs to get over it.
And I don't think anyone's forcing stalking as the alternative to not reading the questions.
It's the only logical alternative.
Oh, Jesus, Yul's back, and now he knows what's going on. Right, so, not sure whether the question can be just about anything, but here it goes, let me know what you think. He doesn't say that. I'm embellishing again. I'd like to know what you TSA chaps think about DLC, that's downloadable content. Microsoft have used it to try and create a platform advantage, such as the one-month COD DLC. That's Call of Duty, not the fish. How much do they pay for that? Cody's rinsed the hell out of Dirt 3 with such DLC as Carhorn DLC. I mean, seriously. Which left me with a bad taste in my mouth. Well, you can't
eat. You're not supposed to eat
DLC,
it.
So that's where you're going wrong. As with online... This is still a question. As with online passes, is DLC being used to subsidise the apparent loss to developers, publishers due to the second-hand market? And furthermore, is original game content being cut due to this? Now, Yules, I don't think you've listened to the podcast before. it's quite a highbrow in terms of questions.
You lost me after DLC. To be fair, the first DLC.
In brief, no, I can't actually summarise that.
What do we think of DLC? What about Microsoft's 1 month exclusive DLC on certain titles? And do we think that original material is being cut out of games in order to be used for DLC?
I don't think that original material is being cut out of games. Mm. I think additional material, which people, it's quite easy to say, oh, well, you could have just had that day one release. And for example, things like the Batman character packs for the challenge maps. But they probably just wouldn't have. If DLC wasn't a thing, they probably just wouldn't have included it. So,
yeah, and
I think
we are now at a point where DLC is part of the release schedule and it's used for when developers go to publishers or when publishers approach developers. It's used as part of the financing package that DLC will be a thing. So, in a lot of cases, if DLC didn't feature, then the game just simply wouldn't get made. Because it's all factored in fairly early on that we're going to release this game and we expect to sell this many copies and we'll make this much profit from it, but with our DLC it will give us an extra 6 months of a revenue stream on top of that, and we'll make X more profit so we can spend more on the game now.
I think original content is being taken out of DLC. Don't laugh. That's my genuine, because the DLC's nothing exciting most of the time.
No, that's true.
No, it's just another way of rehashing stuff to get a bit of extra cash.
We're going really long now, having sped through the other things. We spent about an hour on questions.
I was just about to say that's the last question. It's nearly 10 o'clock. We're 2 hours and 15 minutes in. What are you arguing about?
Yeah.
Because she says, go for it. Once I remember to ask him in time. At least I should be in time. So
okay, we'll make an exception
because she's a long time listener and she has yes,
and very constructive commenter on the posts. Yeah,
indeed.
Yes.
So she
go on,
says,
Hazel.
Okay, number one.
She doesn't talk in that voice.
Okay, number one.
There should be some female protagonists for GTA 5. There have been a range of opinions. Personally, I'd love that to happen. What are you guys' thoughts on the subject?
It doesn't bother me either way, whether it's male or female.
As long as you got big tits.
I'm sorry. That wasn't one.
Has it got a good character and a good persona to him?
Yeah, and a huge talent for destruction.
I would very much like Grand Theft Auto 5 to have numerous protagonists.
Yeah, that might be quite cool.
Because I think that Rockstar are very good at telling people's stories, but they, in those Grand Theft Auto games, they tend to drag them out a little bit long, so they go dead in the middle.
It'd be quite nice to have protagonists which seemingly don't have anything to do with each other at the beginning.
Yeah.
The stories of which then interweave.
Yeah.
And as long as they've got a great pair, because I'm a fan of the Five a Day.
Tenuous. And second question was, do you think...
Oh, like you're an authority on things that aren't tenuous.
I am actually an authority on things that aren't tenuous. I've got a degree in that, so... Do you think the Old Republic will really be a great...
No, we're not asking any more questions.
Oh, sorry, Haslam, really? Hazel, you got one.
No, I don't think that it will challenge World of Warcraft. Ha! I answered
Peter.
It. Balls to you, Gaston, and your fascist regime.
Yeah!
Right. You...
Also, Jammy Dodgers all the way.
Right, that's it.
I'm on the naughty step.
Sorry, Adlamus. Edemus, is that a capital I or a lowercase L? I don't know.
Edemus.
Anyway, mango. Sorry, we're not going to answer your question. We can answer pineapple or mango. Pineapple, obviously, because mango's disgusting.
Right,
mango.
You two.
Pineapple,
you two.
Little spiky
you two, stop it.
Hair.
Don't eat it with the skin on.
Stop it.
Mind you could say the same thing about kiwis, couldn't you?
Stop it.
Sorry, Lewis.
Kiwi's just like a frozen bollock.
Stop it!
I ate a kiwi with a
stop it.
The other
day. Oh, you
stop
animal.
It!
I sort of shaved it first.
Stop it!
Shaved it.
Well, I didn't actually shave it. But I rubbed it against a coarse surface until most of the hair was gone.
You sanded it.
Yeah, I sanded a kiwi and then ate it with the skin on.
Sanded it down. Bit of exfoliation.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice, and it was good.
Gross.
It's all right because by the time it's not hairy, it's just a normal fruit skin, and that's okay. Not like a banana skin, that'd be mental.
You can take these things too far.
But you can eat an apple skin, can't you? There's no harm in that. So why is it any different for the... It's only the hair on the kiwi skin that makes it a disgusting act. So once you've removed that with a bit of sandpaper or whatever.
So there you go.
I can't be faffing around cutting off the top and getting a spoon and none of that. It's not for me.
Just don't eat kiwi fruit.
Oh, but they're delicious.
Don't eat fruit in general. Kiwi fruit make my mouth tingle a little bit, like it's almost burning. I think
see,
I might be a little bit
allergic.
See, mangoes
do that for me. So after saying to Adlimus that I'm not going to answer his question, we spent quite a long time of fruit. All right, I think we're done.
Have you got a favourite fruit, Lewis?
I think it's me.
Lewis? Fruit? No?
Hey, Fruity Lewis.
Oh, I see. No, I haven't.
Okay.
See you later then.
No, I do like pineapple.
See, I like pineapple flavour, but I don't like actual pineapples.
I like pineapple.
Interessant.
And I like passion fruit.
This has been episode 46. What? Just saying.
It's a bit presumptuous.
Just saying. Time is going on.
Yeah, so you get to talk when I want to stop. Fucking hypocrite.
Just rude.
This has been episode 46 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast, with Kev, Peter, and me. You can get Peter at Twitter at Peter. Nope. Peter's on Twitter at Colossal Blue. Kev's on Twitter at Kevinatron. Kevatron 400. I'm on Twitter at Lewis Gaston. If you tweet me, I'll probably pick it up 4 days later.
And then just call you a cunt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tell him to stop tweeting at him.
That's how I roll. You can enter the film competition by entering at lewisgaston@screendomin.com. Screendemon.com.
You're fixated on Dominatrix again.
It is, yeah. I can't get it out of my head.
Your love and it's all
I knew that was going to happen.
Hey, blame Kylie, not me.
Blame Kathy Dennis, she wrote it.
Good trivia.
And yeah, you obviously know TSA.com and all that shizzle.
It's the sickfaxes.com. You obviously don't know.
Shut up.
Well, gosh, it's really aggressive.
Yeah.
Go on.
I have nothing.
Okay.
I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, yeah. I am aggressive.
Well aggressive.
What of it? Bring it on. Got something to say?
Yeah, see you later.
So yeah, if you could say bye, please, Peter.
Bye.
Kev's already said bye.
Lo sientes, no hablo español.
Fuma poyurica gravemente su salud el de los que están a su alrededor.
Sorry, I don't speak foreign.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's smoking harms you and others around you.
Do you by any chance have boot fags?
Yeah, that's those bootleg cigarettes coming in handy right there. That
by which he means he's been on holiday recently and perfectly legally brought them back into the country.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Definitely didn't just get them around the news agents.
No, that's what happened. I went to that place where they speak that language.
on one of them big silver things what flies.
Yeah.
It was all voodoo. I had to shut my eyes for most of it. So yeah, that's us done. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Next time, Gadget.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a really long question time, wasn't it?
It was.
It was actually longer than question time.
Probably was.
It was longer than the rest of the podcast.
I've got tickets to go and see X Factor on Saturday night.
Oh. That would make me want to kill myself.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
my
take
brother
Peter.
Works on it, so I've got like production guest tickets for me and Kate.
Does he run the auto tune?
No, he just does running.
I was going to say, was he the bloke that ran on screen with a guitar the other week?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Dermot O'Leary was there chatting away. Some bloke ran past with a guitar.
Yeah. So what can we say that's funny for the end bit?
Fuck you.
Fuck you, we're not doing an end bit.